You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I'm standing in this briefing room right now. There is no government official here, but I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people.
They came in peace.
Maybe we should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue, like these folks who chant CNN sucks and fake news. Maybe we should go out, all journalists should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and chant, we're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people.
CNN.
This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims? Bogus police reports cause real harm.
The time together, 2 hours, 11 minutes, wheels up to wheels down. Welcome aboard.
All right, again, Alex Jones here with an emergency report. And we are about to take off here, but I've got to let you know that I got a call right before I got on board from one of my high-level sources.
Yeah.
That the FBI is criminally investigating not just Smollett, but his handlers inside the production of Empire. Now, I got a call 2 days ago basically telling me the same thing, but now it's confirmed that they've intercepted information. They've already talked to witnesses. They confirmed that the whole show was basically wargaming how they could run a publicity stunt against Trump to try to even boost the ratings even higher. So there's that motive. And then also try to demonize Trump as part of this larger race war initiative we know the Democrats have pushed. So I'm about to take off, and Paul Watson's about to host the show live, but I wanted to start the broadcast and let you know that I'll be back tonight with more information on this here in the war room. I'll be back tomorrow during my show to break it all down. But this thing could bring down the entire Obama operation, a false flag like this that's been blown wide open out of the Chicago machine. And the fact that it was so shoddily done, and that Smollett was so arrogant up front, he thought he'd get away with it. Because he was backed by people, so he doubled down. All of this is a perfect storm, just like the criminal investigation, the indictments on Pelosi Ford and that staged event, the Covington kids. All this is coming together, but Smollett is even bigger. So Paul's coming up, and then we're going to have a special report I followed earlier, and Owen Schroyer, so much more, but this is so big that this is directly linked to Obama and to the Chicago big city machine and their overall operations. Look for them to do more Hail Marys, more stage events like this, though.
Broad- Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, Jussie Smollett can finally breathe a sigh of relief because the prime suspect in the hate crime attack against him has finally been arrested, and that prime suspect is Jussie Smollett. You heard Alex Jones talk about it in the intro to the show. We are live on this February 21st, 2019 edition. Donald J. Trump tweeted just about half an hour ago at Jussie Smollett. He tagged him in the tweet. What about MAGA and the tens of millions of people you insulted with your racist and dangerous comments? Because we've had the police press conference, a clip from which we played just before the break, where they say in that conference that the sole motivation, or at least the primary motivation for Jussie Smollett staging this hate crime attack against himself was because he wanted a raise. He was not getting paid enough for his co-starring role on Empire. He's getting paid $65,000 per episode, okay? There are 18 episodes in a series. This is a hit show. It's not going to be cancelled anytime soon. Looks like Jussie Smollett's being cancelled because of this, obviously. But this guy was on $65,000 an episode. Yasha Ali tweets for the Huffington Post, "Scoop, a well-placed source familiar with his comp, tells me Jussie Smollett was being paid $65,000 per episode for his co-starring role on Empire. Average season has 18 episodes. Police say his dissatisfaction with his salary led him to stage this hoax." Do you really believe that? $65,000 an episode, 18 episodes, over $1 million, and that's his only motivation. When we have Smollett immediately after the alleged attack, which he staged, according to the police, going to the scene of the crime, pointing up at the security camera, telling the cops, "Look, it's all been caught on camera. There it is. Just get the tapes." Unfortunately for Smollett, the camera was turned the other way. We saw the surveillance footage from the Nigerian brothers when they were buying the ski masks, the hats, the gloves. Of course, the distinctive red baseball cap, which was supposed to represent a MAGA hat before the attack. That was all caught on surveillance camera released yesterday. This was meant to be caught on camera. This was meant to go viral. As even black civil rights leaders have said, this could have potentially started racial violence across the country, if not a race war. This was meant to be a media spectacle blamed on Trump supporters to drag down his campaign, to further this narrative that there's a wave of bigotry and hatred sweeping America. We know it is, but that's mainly leftist and Antifa types. But this was meant to put all that on Trump. It failed. It's now completely collapsed. But do you really believe that the only motivation for staging this hate crime, because of course at first we learned that, or it was reported, that Smollett feared being written out of Empire, the hit show. That didn't really make sense because he was one of the most best-loved characters on that show. That really fell by the wayside, that whole narrative. Now they're saying it's simply because he wanted a pay rise. I don't believe that's the only motivation. And in fact, there's a Mike Adams story, which is up on Infowars.com. The independent media just saved America from a bloody race war that the mainstream media was trying to start. And he makes the same point in this article. If this hadn't have been pulled apart within a matter of 3 weeks, this could have been blown to such grand proportions that it could have kickstarted some serious tension across the entire country. Mike Adams writes, "In reviewing the Jussie Smollett fiasco, it's important to note that Smollett staged his hate crime hoax in a location where he believed it would be caught and recorded on a surveillance camera. This wasn't just meant to be a report. This was meant to be a viral video, which is why he went straight to the scene of the crime with the police after they came to his apartment, pointed up at the surveillance camera and said, 'Look, it's all on tape.' It wasn't on tape because the camera was pointed the wrong way." Mike Adams continues, "The purpose of this was to have video footage that the media would play up nationwide, fomenting an outbreak of racially charged violence that would ultimately lead to a full-blown race war across America, which the media, of course, would blame on Trump. Now, whether or not you believe it would lead to a race war, I think that's probably stretching it a bit. It would certainly have been used to demonize Trump supporters in the run-up to the 2020 election and bolster this narrative that there is this wave of hate sweeping the country, which, again, as we've proven through all the fake hate crimes that have proven to be absolute hoaxes and the actual physical attacks which are mainly being carried out by the left, that narrative doesn't hold together for the media. This would have helped them glue it together. So Mike Adams has put this article out saying, you know, if the alternative media didn't pick this apart, and let's not forget that at the start of this, it was a conspiracy theory to question whether this incident actually happened. You saw the tweets, you saw the news reports, even though CNN claimed, oh, we were just reporting the facts. No, they reported it as a definitive thing that this happened, that it was a racist, homophobic attack, that it was carried out by Trump supporters. You still have the likes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a tweet out there saying precisely that again, a declarative statement that this was a racist, homophobic attack. That tweet has got something like 140,000 likes, 35,000 retweets. It has not been pulled down. So I'm still quite skeptical that the only motivation in this could have been to get a pay raise. Obviously, it would have brought him increased visibility, maybe roles in other shows, because he would have been hailed as this big social justice icon, again, attracting to himself this victimhood mentality that's worn as a badge of honor now. But really, with the MAGA cap, with the staging, with the making sure it would be caught on surveillance camera so it would go viral on the internet, do you really believe that was the only motivation to boost his already quite substantial $65,000 per episode pay wage? Now, the other aspect of this is he being treated with kid gloves? We've got an article up on Infowars.com right now. Report Chicago police officers upset at coddling of Jussie Smollett. Because if you notice, if you watch the press conference with the police chief there, right at the end, the final question, they asked him what would he consider to be justice for Jussie Smollett. And he said, well, one, to apologize to the city of Chicago, and two, to pay a fine to cover the costs of the investigation of this allegedly fake hate crime. And he said, the police superintendent, that would be justice. He did not mention any jail time whatsoever. Now, of course, we know this felony comes with a 1 to 3 year jail time, but it looks like, according to those comments made by Eddie Johnson, suggesting that if Smollett just apologized to the city of Chicago and paid a fine, that would mean justice. As many have speculated, doesn't look like he's going to get any jail time. Which, again, emboldens other people or the leftists if they're planning on staging these attacks and they know they're not going to be punished to the full extent of the law, that would embolden them even if, you know, they got caught. We have this article, report Chicago police officers upset at coddling of Jussie Smollett. Says rank-and-file Chicago police officers are reportedly irate at the fact that actor Jussie Smollett is being treated with kid gloves by higher-ups. And this source comes from Quillette journalist Andy Engo, who says the rank-and-file officers at CPD are angry at how their PR is coddling Smollett with comments like this. The comment in question came from Chicago police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi, who said last night that he understood the situation may be, quote, difficult emotionally for Smollett, and the authorities wanted to, quote, make this as diplomatic as possible. He didn't quite get the perp walk that Roger Stone received with, you know, a dozen men armed with machine guns around his property, CNN being tipped off to his arrest beforehand. Jussie Smollett basically calmly walked into the police station at 5 a.m. There were no cameras. It was all straightforward. It was all smooth. So now, apparently, rank and file Chicago police officers are very angry that he's being treated with kid gloves despite being arrested for a felony offense. We'll be back with more on this on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show Live. Breaking news at Infowars.com. We'll be back.
You You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
Empire actor Jussie Smollett turned himself into police this morning. A Chicago police spokesman said on a felony charge of disorderly conduct in filing a false police report. Police said in the press conference, which was on earlier, which you probably saw some of, we played a clip, that the fake letter that was sent to the officers of the Empire production staff before this supposedly staged hate crime took place was also sent by Smollett to himself, of course, working in coordination with the infamous Nigerian Brothers. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said, "This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career." Now, I put out a video a couple of days ago called "Jussie Smollett is a Complete Idiot," and that really has been borne out. He supposedly paid the Nigerian Brothers who helped him stage this attack $3,500 by check. So he left a record of the payment. He could have just paid them cash, no record, but he chose to pay them by check. He truly is a complete moron. There you see classic CNN meme, which was in the video. Now, I put up a poll on Twitter a few minutes ago. Do you really believe that a pay raise was Jussie Smollett's only motive? He was already on 65K an episode with his hit show Empire. So you can go and vote on that poll on Twitter on my account at Prison Planet. So far, 85% say the motive was anti-Trump. Only 5% say that the motive was simply that he wanted a pay raise. 10% aren't sure, or they just want to see the results. So that poll is live on Twitter. Because according to this report, which I mentioned before the break, some rank and file police officers within the Chicago Police Department are not very happy with their superiors about the treatment or the lack of harsh treatment being dished out to Jussie Smollett. Now, people watched the press conference with Superintendent, the police superintendent, who said that he was convinced that the only motive was the pay raise. And crucially, the key question at the end of this press conference, he was asked what he thought justice would look like for Jussie Smollett. And the police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, suggested that if Smollett apologized and paid a fine, that that will be justice. Now, people disagreed with this on Twitter, saying that Eddie Johnson seemed very angry with what Smollett had done, with the damage he'd done to Chicago as a city. But I don't know. They asked him the question directly and said, "What does justice look like to you?" And he said, "An apology and a fine." He did not mention prison time. And this is the police superintendent. So will he get away with it with just a slap on the wrist? According to Andy Engo of Quillette, he talked to rank and file officers at the CPD, and they're angry at how their PR is coddling Smollett with comments like this. The comment was that it would be difficult emotionally for Smollett. This was the police commenting, the police spokesman saying that it would be difficult emotionally for Smollett, and that authorities wanted to make this as diplomatic as possible. This is a guy who was wanted for a felony offense, remember, who before this morning had not turned himself in, who by all accounts was not being very cooperative with the police, a guy who refused to hand over his phone initially, and then when they asked for the phone records, only handed them over after they were heavily redacted. And yet he does, to some extent, appear to be being treated with kid gloves. So there's some disagreement about that. Yes, they were obviously angry in the press conference, but when it came to the question of what justice would look like, they said justice would be an apology and a fine. Those were his words. That's what he said. Now, of course, the other aspect of this is the media, which unquestionably reported this as a homophobic, racist hate crime straight away before any evidence whatsoever was in. When that narrative started to turn the other way, of course, all the celebrities, all the media personalities came out and said, "Oh, we're not going to comment until all the evidence is in." Well, all the evidence is now in, and they're still running defense for Jussie Smollett. Don Lemon, it's not Jussie Smollett's fault that he lost in the court of public opinion. This was on Don Lemon, CNN, last night. We have the clip. Let's roll it right now. Here it is.
In the court of public opinion, Jussie has lost. He's right. Lost the fight in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
And that's where his battle is. Whether legally, if he has to go, whatever he has to serve, if it's jail time, if he has to do probation, if he has to pay, whatever. But in the court of public opinion,
it matters.
It matters. And he lost that because of how, and not his fault. Maybe people were, I don't know what they were saying to him, how maybe because of his representatives. Who knows?
I don't know.
But it was handled poorly.
I don't know if it's not his fault, Don.
You think it's his fault? You think he was doing what he wanted?
Well, he went out and he gave the interview. So understand this. Now, let's talk from a defense perspective. There's two things to think about. Number one is the law and whether it makes sense legally to be out there speaking and everything else. From that perspective, it's damning. All those things you heard him say on TV are going to be played in a courtroom.
So there you have CNN's Don Lemon saying it's not Jussie Smollett's fault that he lost in the court of public opinion. He got up on ABC Good Morning America, gave the nation a sob story, attacked people who dared question his version of events, exploited this for his own ends, seemingly exploited it politically. Of course, you know, all the Democrats, all the leftist celebrities did when the story first came out. So, of course, it's his fault that he lost in the court of public opinion. If these charges are true, and the overwhelming amount of evidence suggests they are, he staged a hate crime attack against himself. If it was only to get a pay raise, that's bad enough. If it was to further this political narrative that this wave of bigotry and hatred is sweeping America and that it's Trump supporters' fault, then, of course, it's his own fault. Who else could it be? Now we have people like Ellen Page, who, of course, came out on Colbert's show, and he was like, yes, I agree fully, blaming Mike Pence for anti-LGBT rhetoric that caused the Jussie Smollett attack. Is Ellen Page going to come out and walk back and apologize and retract? Are people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez going to come out and apologize and retract? Her tweet is still up on Twitter. And as far as I know, Ellen Page has not reversed any of her statements either. She got up on late night with Colbert and said, basically, how dare anyone question this? This just shows the state of the country. How hatred against gays just runs through the veins of the country because people would even dare question this. There you see the tweet from AOC. There's no such thing as racially charged. This attack was not possibly homophobic. It was a racist and homophobic attack. Again, that was based solely on the claims of Jussie Smollett, which started to collapse almost instantly. Then we have Empire producers floating trial balloon about suspending Jussie Smollett. They haven't even taken any action. They're just considering it. Okay. Roseanne got fired immediately. Her entire show was rewritten for an offensive tweet. Jussie Smollett allegedly, the overwhelming amount of evidence suggests, staged a hate crime against himself that could have had massive negative ramifications for the entire country, and they haven't even suspended him. They haven't even taken any disciplinary action whatsoever. Absolutely incredible. We'll be back with more on the Alex Jones Show live, InfoWars.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
I'm still trying to get my head around how dumb one person can be. This Jussie Smollett fake hate crime. He paid the Nigerian brothers by check. Why pay them by check? He forgot to tell them to trash the receipt for the items they purchased in the hardware store. You know, the ski masks, the gloves, the red hat that was supposedly meant to look like a MAGA hat. He called them before and after the attack, leaving a trail on the phone records. He left a giant paper trail throughout this whole thing. How dumb can you get? Mike Cernovich tweeted, Jussie Smollett, who left an extensive paper trail of his crimes, is a character all lawyers know well. Criminals who think they are much smarter than they really are. Just absolutely incredible. Everything. The only thing captured on surveillance camera was them buying the items. They failed to even capture this alleged staged attack on surveillance camera because they didn't realize it was pointing the wrong way. Absolutely incredible. Rob Elgus of ABC7, who's one of the local journalists who's blown this case wide open, basically doing real journalism, which is why the likes of CNN hate him and why he's getting a lot of flack. He said, new from 20th Century Fox TV, quote, we understand the seriousness of this matter and we respect the legal process. We are evaluating the situation and we are considering our options. Because before, Fox came out and said they're not going to take any action and that they stand behind Jussie Smollett, even when the weight of evidence was clearly against him. So now, even after the police press conference, they're still holding fire on making any kind of decision. Remember, in the case of Roseanne, who I think was ABC, she was fired immediately. Her entire show was rewritten because of one offensive tweet. Nobody got hurt with an offensive tweet. This thing could have caused race riots across America. And now they're talking about a slap on the wrist and no action from Fox has yet been taken or from the show Empire itself against Jussie Smollett. Now, who's going to apologize for this? Is Seth Mandel going to apologize? Seth Mandel came out with a tweet about this last night, and it was so bad. The tweet was so bad, he got dragged by his own wife on Twitter. Listen to this. Seth Mandel, who's a journalist for the Washington Examiner. So I think this guy's actually a conservative, but listen to this. He said, Jussie Smollett royally messed up in what's beginning to look more like a cry for help than anything else. I don't see how sending him to prison accomplishes that, so I hope it doesn't reach that point. Ben Shapiro responded, disagree. If you waste police time and taxpayer dollars on your self-centered attempt to stoke radical political tension and undercut the suffering of real hate crime victims in the process, you should do jail time. Then his own wife responded, not knowing that he was completely owned in this tweet. It had a ratio which was off the charts, basically historical, meaning the amount of people that replied to the tweet dwarfed the retweets or the likes that the tweet itself received. His own wife, Bethany S. Mandel, responded, he was cool with multiple people going to prison for his mistakes. Nope. Which is true, isn't it? Because he was willing to testify against two innocent people before the police told him that those two people were actually the Nigerian brothers who he allegedly conspired with to stage the attack. So he was perfectly willing to send two people to jail for something they never did before he found out their identity. Absolutely incredible. We'll continue to monitor it. But before we go to more news, I want to draw your attention to the great specials we have available right now at InfoWarsStore.com, where we have the exciting new protein bars and Turbo Force. In fact, we've got a 40% offer on InfoWars Life protein bars when you buy two or more boxes. Getting your protein has never been easier with InfoWars Life protein bars. We've got them available in both delicious chocolate, peanut butter, and vanilla coconut flavors. Each bar is a great tasting way to get your energy and fuel on the go. InfoWars Life protein bars are formulated to give you straightforward energy whenever you need it, with nutrient-packed power and no unnatural additives. So they don't contain loads of filler fuel and unnatural ingredients. They're in fact made of wholesome ingredients for high-level performance with great taste, including whey protein, chocolate compounds, and chicory root fiber. So in each pack, you get 12 bars of easily accessible, great-tasting energy on the go, and they're available right now at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off when you buy two or more boxes for the low price, which is displayed on screen right there. InfoWars Life protein bars support this network. We're under increasing attack, deplatforming, financial sabotage. You know the story. Please support us by getting the exciting new InfoWars Life protein bars at InfoWarsStore.com. Massive discount, 40% off when you buy two or more boxes. Now, we're going to stay on top of whatever's breaking with the Jussie Smollett case, but for now, let's switch into other news. China's social credit system shows its teeth, banning millions from taking flights and trains. Now, we've talked about this many times before, but now we've got numbers, actual hard figures, out of the Chinese government from this blacklist, which ranks Chinese citizens based on their trustworthiness. And that trustworthiness score is based on things like misdemeanors is based on things like jaywalking, social media posts that criticize the government, purchases, like if you purchase too much fatty food, if you purchase too many video games, that will downrank your social credit score and you'll find it harder to get jobs. You'll find it harder to get insurance. And now it's come out that in 2018, 17.46 million discredited people in China were restricted from buying plane tickets, and 5.47 million Chinese citizens were restricted from purchasing train tickets. This is beyond Orwell. Imagine not just being deplatformed on social media, not just being suspended on Twitter, not just being banned by Facebook. Imagine your political statement being fed into some centralized computer database by some soy boys working in Silicon Valley, and then they're having the knock-on effect of you not being able to travel. This is the chilling Big Brother future that we all face in the West if we don't stand up to deplatforming, because that's where it's going to end up going. In fact, there are polls both in the US and the UK which show that around 70% of potential employers check and audit people's individual social media presence before they even get to the interview stage of a job. So if you've been deplatformed by social media, if you don't have a social media presence, if you've been unpersoned because of your hate speech, because of your thought crime, that is going to cost you a job in the long term, because it's going to raise red flags for these employers who see that you don't even have a social media presence on the internet. Well, why not? This is where it's all going. And we've got the numbers out of China, where 17.46 million discredited people were restricted from buying plane tickets, 5.47 million restricted from purchasing high-speed train tickets. It goes on to talk about premium insurance, real estate, again, barring you from engaging in basic commerce because you've been deemed to be untrustworthy by Big Brother. And this is already happening in the West. It's already happening now with Chase Bank deplatforming conservatives, ostensibly because of their political opinions. Zero Hedge reports Chase Bank deplatforms conservative performance artist Martina Markota. And again, the response is usually, and from conservatives in many cases, a free market. There'll be a free market solution. All right, what are you going to do? Just start your own Chase Bank. Big League Politics reports PayPal bans Big League reporter after he exposed them funding illegal immigration. So a journalist criticized PayPal for funding illegal immigration. Weeks later, his PayPal account was banned. Just start your own PayPal. No, that's not the solution. We need actual regulation of this, because this deplatforming is crippling people's financial situation. It's crippling people's lives. In some cases, it's destroying their very future, and it's chilling. We'll be back in the next segment of The Alex Jones Show. Breaking news at Infowars.com.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
We're about to go right back live to Paul Joseph Watson in this Thursday edition. I want to point out the big key as we come in here, the big victory. We've known from history, we've known from evidence, we've known from research that governments and corrupt groups, from private individuals to mafias, stage events against their enemies. It's called frame-up, inside job, staged event. And they use these events to manipulate those of us that have conscience, those of us that care, those of us that are involved, to try to control us. And the good news here is it's a lot safer for everybody now to talk about staged events. It's a lot safer for folks to point out who benefits where almost every major hate crime has been staged. So the reason I'm being attacked, the reason I'm being sued, is because they don't want us to be able to question. The crime is questioning. The crime is asking questions. The crime is not believing what you're firsthand and told. The crime is not going along with the official story. And InfoWars is all about questioning the official story. We're right about 95% of the time. Sometimes we're wrong. And when we're wrong, we're proud of it because we openly announce it. We're just looking for the truth here. We are here to absolutely target tyrants and tell the truth. So we'll go back live to Paul Watson as I take off here. And I just want you to understand this is a big victory that Smollett's been exposed and that Blasey Ford's been exposed and that the Covington kid hoax has been exposed and that all of it's being exposed right now. This is a big, big win for everybody. So now everybody can get on the message boards and talk radio and C-SPAN and church, and everybody can now understand how things are staged by the globalists. And now that's their key modus operandi is inside job. Back to Paul Joseph Watson, InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We are back. That was Alex Jones. And in fact, we're going to play the entirety of the Chicago Police Department press conference in the next hour. So be sure to stay tuned for that. It was a very interesting press conference, to say the least. Earlier on Twitter, I asked, do you really believe that a pay raise was Jussie Smollett's only motive in staging this apparently fake hate crime? He was already on $65,000 an episode for the hit show Empire. Mike Cernovich has responded. He says it's a hybrid motivation. Jussie Smollett used Trump derangement syndrome as the hook. Nothing sells like hate for Trump. He was on his way to a seven-figure book deal and more. So, of course, forget about Empire. If this had been carried through without being detected, Jussie Smollett would have been a social justice icon. He would have set himself up for life. So it does appear that, you know, financial reasons were a big part of the motive, but also the hook was this Trump derangement syndrome, which doesn't appear to be working, by the way. The Drudge Report's just posted a new story from Mediaite. Says even after Sanders, Harris, and others enter race, and of course, creepy Joe Biden is about to enter the race, according to sources very close to his campaign, bookies have Donald Trump as a massive 2020 favorite. It says, although there are now 12 already declared candidates opposing Trump in 2020, the nation's gambling gurus are still heavily favoring him for the win in the next election. The Washington Examiner reported Wednesday the entry of Bernie Sanders as number 12 in the race didn't even budge the numbers. So Trump is the overwhelming 3-2 favorite for re-election. This is columnist Paul Bedard, who spoke with the sportsbook manager at betonline.ag, Dave Mason, who said, quote, there were no changes to Sanders' odds following the announcement. We had it as a foregone conclusion that he will be in the Democratic mix. Sanders' odds were as high as 28-1. So he's still looking like he's a long way off. Kamala Harris is 8-1 at the moment, while Dwayne The Rock Johnson is at 80-1. And where is Michelle Obama? You know, she had the wildly successful book. She had her Grammy appearance. She's got approval ratings through the roof. Oh, look, there she is with Jussie Smollett. Well, I wonder why Michelle Obama's not running. A lot of speculation as to why she's not running, and I'm sure that will continue to rumble. But Trump is still heavily favored for 2020 because basically the Democrats have nobody who can really challenge him at this point, who don't really have any policy platform apart from Orange Man Bad. I'm going to get into some news out of Europe here in a second, but I want to direct you once more to InfoWarsStore.com, where we have another massive discount special. It is the InfoWars Life Brain Synergy Combo. 50% off Brain Force with a purchase of Turbo Force. This is for those looking for the ultimate source of energy for their day every day. It is the Brain Synergy Combo. It combines the powerful Turbo Force energy drink and Brain Force Plus nootropic formulas. This combo has what you need to hit your maximum potential every day. I've started taking the Turbo Force. It's excellent. It does give you a big surge of energy without that decline, without any side effects you get from the normal junk energy drinks that are commonly available in stores. And we've got the tasty tropical berry-flavored Turbo Force instant drink mix. Take it on the go or at work to help you provide you with focus, clarity, and energy. When you combine that with the next generation of advanced neural activation, which is Brain Force Plus, a fan favorite formula fueled by powerful time-tested ingredients, you accomplish the true 360 win. So that combo is available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off Brain Force with a purchase of Turbo Force. Please support this network by taking advantage of that special today at InfoWarsStore.com. So we have the social credit system in China snaring 17.46 million people who are discredited and untrustworthy, maybe because they crossed the road at the wrong time, or maybe because they criticized the government, or maybe because they didn't pay a tax bill on time or something of that nature. So now they're banned from buying plane tickets, and it's all coming to America. It already is in some aspects. We've got Chase Bank deplatforming a conservative performance artist, Martina Markota, who was informed that her Chase Bank business account was shut down after she used it to fund a project based around, a comic book of some sort. Of course, Joe Biggs had problems with Chase Bank. That seems to be resolved, I think, the last update. Of course, PayPal banned Alex Jones, banned InfoWars. They banned Robert Spencer. We had MasterCard doing the same thing. PayPal has banned a big league politics reporter because he criticized PayPal. So again, we have liberals cheering the concentration of power into a few select Silicon Valley corporations who are now basically sabotaging people's financial future. And it's only going to get worse if we don't scream from the rooftops about it. Now, Donald Trump Jr.'s followers say Instagram blocked them from liking his post. That's up at Breitbart. Instagram users are allegedly being prevented from liking or following President Trump and his son, Donald Trump Jr., according to multiple reports received by Trump Jr., who exclusively shared those reports with Breitbart News. And you can see the screenshots where people are being prevented from liking his Instagram posts, in many cases unfollowing him without their say-so. So big tech continues its war against conservatives, against the alternative media. Meanwhile, over in Europe, we had this video up on InfoWars.com yesterday. Austria, feminist politician says Muslim migrants' lack of respect for women's rights a price worth paying for diversity. She basically got up on a television show and said, quote, if he, in regard to a refugee or a migrant, won't recognize our values in terms of not recognizing the equality of women, I think we can get over that. This is a top female feminist politician, former president of the Austrian Supreme Court, saying we can get over the fact that migrants who are coming from Islamic countries that have no respect for women, that treat them like cattle in some cases, we can just get over that. We can get over the hundreds, or in fact, there's probably thousands of women groped, molested, in some cases raped during the New Year's Eve assault in Cologne, Germany, the rapidly rising sex assaults in Sweden, in other European countries, since they opened the borders to mass immigration. This leftist politician says, yeah, we can get over that because it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it for the soaring violent crime rate that has happened in Germany, the vast majority of which is attributable to migrants. It's surely worth the price, right? Meanwhile, Sweden, this is up on InfoWars Europe, horse set on fire, migrant gang douses woman in lighter fluid. Oh, I guess we should just get over that as well. A horse was set on fire and an elderly woman was doused in lighter fluid near a flaming grill by an immigrant gang in separate incidents in Sweden. So, you know, surely it's worth it. Surely it's worth it for multiculturalism and diversity. Who cares if a few old women get doused and set on fire? You know, who cares if hundreds or thousands of women get mass molested in Cologne? It's worth it. That's the price of diversity. We'll be back. InfoWars.com. Don't go away.
I want to file one more live voice memo here as we take off. As I get back to the ATX, it's that we have come so far together, ladies and gentlemen. We've exposed the globalist paradigm of sociopaths and psychopaths, not understanding emotion but trying to manipulate ours. And when we buy into it mindlessly, because we have emotion, we have a soul, we have conscience, they can win. But when we sit back like they do, coldly looking at what they're actually doing and who stands to benefit, we still have our emotion, we still have our soul, but we're able to shift into the psychopath mode, the sociopath mode, and ask, as the Romans would, who benefits? And now with Smollett and the Covington kids and all these other hoaxes, coming out, Blasey Ford, the list goes on and on, the Air Force Academy on and on, their whole paradigm is blown. That's what's so exciting. So I salute you, I thank you, and just keep spreading the word. We're going to win. We're under attack because we're over the target. We're over the target. We know how to defeat the globalists, and you, the audience, are part of the InfoWar. So spread the live links, InfoWars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer now in studio for Alex Jones in Austin, Texas, at the InfoWars World Headquarters. Now, look, I'm still trying to analyze all the angles here, but you have to understand that InfoWars' role in news coverage is very unique. And we don't just look at stories as isolated incidents around here. And so when I see the Jesse Smollett hoax totally fall apart, when I see them blaming it on him complaining he didn't make enough money, I don't buy that. And you have all the images of him with all of these Democrats at all these different rallies. I mean, the guy was a Democrat operative. That's not a conspiracy theory. Jesse Smollett is a Democrat operative. Now, whether the Democrats were pulling the strings on this hoax crime is another story that is yet to be investigated, and it will be investigated. And in fact, it is being investigated. In fact, the FBI in Chicago may even have to get involved in this, folks. But we'll see about all that. Now, in the meantime, as we're looking into all of that, was Kamala Harris involved? Was Adam Schiff involved? Heck, was Barack Obama involved? We've caught Bob Cramer and Aaron Black and other Democrats red-handed staging events and planning riots. So we know that goes on. Smollett got caught red-handed. But in the aftermath, knowing how these things work, knowing how the news cycle works, knowing how the mainstream media works, I look at two stories that are coming out today that we really have to sit here and wonder. Now, the first is out of San Francisco. Exclusive: surveillance camera catches presumed MAGA supporter vandalizing San Francisco home. Now, this individual has an impeached Trump sign on his porch and allegedly has eggs thrown at his house, but he won't talk to police. He'll only talk to media, and he blurs his face, and the video they show of the quote-unquote suspect is hardly suspect at all. Then you look at the notes that were left for him, and it's not the type of writing you would expect. I'll just put it that way. So now we're looking at this, wondering if this is a hoax. And boy, oh boy, if you have a hoax meter, folks, it's redlining on this one. But we'll find out, perhaps. And then you have the big one. The U.S. Coast Guard lieutenant, who they're now saying is a white nationalist conservative survivalist with a large weapons cache, was trying to kill almost every last person on Earth, according to the story on MSN and other news outlets. Now, again, we talked about this yesterday, but we knew that they would be staging attacks to blame Trump, blame conservatives, blame Republicans, blame military members, people that have survival gear. I mean, all of this stuff. And so we're now in these throes right now. And so everything has to be looked at under a microscope, folks, but the mainstream media just wants to demonize America.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
We'll be right back. You know, I'm really not sure how to properly depict and analyze what's happening right now in America. But I guess it's not really up to me, is it? It's up to the American people to see what's going on here. Now, we are about to air the entire press conference today from the Chicago police, which the Chicago Police Department detectives just yeoman's work up there. I mean, just what a great job they did. And you're going to hear the whole story and the timeline and everything coming up here in just a minute. But you know, if America can't see, the enemies domestic that are a clear and present danger, really to our civilization, then I'm not really sure what they can see at all, if they can see anything. So we're going to air this entire press conference. But folks, please support us at InfoWars.com because we need your support. We are under mass censorship. And, you know, it's funny because I see all these different news outlets and they get all these breaking news reports. They get all these viral videos. And so many of the times I'm thinking, wow, we broke that a year ago. Or wow, we broke that exact same thing a month ago. But see, we don't get the viral video. We don't get the cross promotion. No, we're Voldemort of news. We're not allowed to be named. Alex Jones isn't allowed to be named. But that's fine. We carry on. And it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that fuels the spaceship here, the Death Star to the globalist, InfoWars. So InfoWarsStore.com, check out some of the specials. Right now, when you get two boxes or more of the brand new InfoWars Life Protein Bar at InfoWarsStore.com, you get 40% off. 40% off the brand new InfoWars Life Protein Bar at InfoWarsStore.com. When you buy two or more boxes, you've got 50% off BrainForce Plus when you buy it with TurboForce. 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth. Just go look at the ingredients in the Ultimate Bone Broth if you want to know why people love it so much. And then at InfoWarsStore.com, there's t-shirts, hats, emergency food supplies, water filters, air filters, toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, body wash, sunscreen, essential oils, CBD oils. The list just goes on and on and on. The InfoWars store is really huge now. And so we just ask you to support us. Fuel this ship at InfoWarsStore.com. And you have Alex's word that your support will launch InfoWars to the next level. Now, we're going to air the entire press conference now. We're also going to be getting an exclusive message from Roger Stone as he is meeting, I believe, with judges and lawyers today. He has a final statement. He's worried that they may gag him or even put him in jail. So we'll probably get a final exclusive statement from Roger, hoping that's not the case. By the way, Terrence Williams, a popular conservative comic, was in a very serious car accident last night. Our thoughts and prayers are with him. He's doing well. He does have a fractured neck, but he is speaking. And in a recent comment, he said, free Roger Stone. Now, without further ado, let's go to the Chicago Police Department press conference today addressing the Jussie Smollett hate crime hoax.
Good morning, everyone. Before I get started on why we're here, you know, as I look out into the crowd, I just wish that the families of gun violence in this city got this much attention, because that's who really deserves the amount of attention that we're giving to this particular incident. But this morning, I come to you not only as the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, but also as a black man who spent his entire life living in the city of Chicago. I know the racial divide that exists here. I know how hard it's been for our city and our nation to come together. And I also know the disparities, and I know the history. This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile. How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims? Bogus police reports cause real harm. They do harm to every legitimate victim who's in need of support by police and investigators, as well as the citizens of this city. Chicago hosts one of the largest pride parades in the world, and we're proud of that as a police department and also as a city. We do not, nor will we ever tolerate hate in our city, whether that hate is based on an individual's sexual orientation, race, or anything else. So I'm offended by what's happened, and I'm also angry. I love the city of Chicago and the Chicago Police Department, warts and all. But this publicity stunt was a scar that Chicago didn't earn and certainly didn't deserve. To make things worse, the accusations within this phony attack received national attention for weeks. Celebrities, news commentators, and even presidential candidates weighed in on something that was choreographed by an actor. First, Smollett attempted to gain attention by sending a false letter that relied on racial, homophobic, and political language. When that didn't work, Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process. And why? This stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary. So he concocted a story about being attacked. Now, our city has problems. We know that. We have problems that have affected people from all walks of life, and we know that. But to put the national spotlight on Chicago for something that is both egregious and untrue is simply shameful. I'm also concerned about what this means moving forward for hate crimes. Now, of course, the Chicago Police Department will continue to investigate all reports of these types of incidents with the same amount of vigor that we did with this one. But my concern is that hate crimes will now publicly be met with a level of skepticism that previously didn't happen. That said, Smollett was treated as a victim throughout this investigation until we received evidence that led detectives in another direction. I couldn't be more proud of the unrelenting detective work that went into this investigation. I couldn't be more proud of every investigator that played a part in it. The detective work that we saw in this case is indicative of the work that our detectives do every day in this city. This case in particular involved hours of video evidence, which when combined with old-fashioned police work, uncovered the truth. These detectives deserve all the credit in the world for carefully analyzing the leads and the evidence for weeks before coming to their conclusion. I'd also like to thank the FBI for their help in this investigation. The FBI's partnership with CPD has been pivotal in this particular case. I only hope that the truth about what happened receives the same amount of attention that the hoax did.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Jesse Smollett hate crime hoax press conference with the Chicago Police Department. Again, just great work by the Chicago Police Department, the FBI involved in that too. Folks, we have to think about all the angles here. Just remember, a few months before this happened, Kamala Harris passed legislation to ban lynching. Boy, a hate crime with a noose involved might have been the perfect way to get that through.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
How deep does the Jesse Smollett fake hate crime hoax go, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the first time the left has staged a hate crime, and it won't be the last. In fact, there may be some ongoing staged hate crimes percolating right now. And as pointed out by a very popular account on Twitter, educating liberals, the Jussie Smollett case is what happens when the demand for racism is greater than the supply. Exactly. And when you're taught your whole life that you're the victim and you're not actually the victim, then you have to play the victim. And if you play the victim, you will become the victim. But how deep does the Jussie Smollett hate crime hoax go? And is there, pun not intended, a tie into the Kamala Harris legislation to make lynching illegal and the fact that Smollett happened to have a noose around his neck? And I don't know, maybe there's some Democrats right now that are afraid of being hung for treason. And maybe that's why they wanted to ban lynching, but that's neither here nor there. Let's go back to the Chicago Police Department with their press conference addressing the Jussie Smollett hate crime hoax.
I'd also like to thank the FBI for their help in this investigation. The FBI's partnership with CPD has been pivotal in this particular case. I only hope that the truth about what happened receives the same amount of attention that the hoax did. I'll continue to pray for this troubled young man who resorted to both drastic and illegal tactics to gain attention. I'll also continue to pray for our city, asking that we can move forward from this and begin to heal. Now I'd like to call up Commander Edward Wodnicki, who personally led this patient and deliberate investigation, to walk everyone through how the Chicago Police Department arrived at this point.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Edward Wodnicki. I'm the commander of the Area Central Detective Division. I'm here to answer questions.
Timeline.
Okay. The boss just corrected me. Please forgive me. I'm supposed to go through the timeline of our investigation.
It's okay.
So here's where we are. As you all know, on the early morning of February 29th at 2 o'clock in the morning, Jussie Smollett reported that he was the victim of a hate crime. Detectives responded to the incident and interviewed him eventually at Northwestern Hospital, where he reported to us that the two offenders yelled racial and homophobic and political statements at him and beat him, put a noose around his neck, and threw bleach on him, and then fled from the area. We learned at the time that Jussie was not hurt other than scratches on his face, maybe some bruising, but no broken ribs or serious injuries. So we started a full-scale investigation into this hate crime, a very serious crime anywhere. We quickly found two persons of interest on video that we believed were the likely offenders in this case. We initially put out a seeking to identify, and we got this out in a community alert. We then started searching the area for video cameras and witnesses that could help us with our investigation. During that time frame, we interviewed over 100 individuals in a canvas of the area and a follow-up canvas as our investigation expanded. We located approximately 35 of our Chicago Police pod cameras in the area and in the areas that we determined these two persons of interest fled. We additionally found over 20 private sector cameras, and I got to say that was super useful in this investigation. The city came together to investigate and help the police with this crime. It was because of these pod cameras, our investment into technology in the city of Chicago and the great assistance from the community in giving us those other cameras that led us to a really solid timeline of where our two persons of interest went. So in short, we were able to track them initially forward. So after the crime, we were able to see that they fled in a particular direction and eventually got into a cab. Our investigators located that cab, interviewed the cab driver, got some video out of that cab, followed that cab using all of these surveillance cameras that are located throughout the city, the pod cameras, to an area up on the north side where they abruptly stopped the cab, got out, and walked on foot. Again, the community came together to provide us with security footage from their private cameras. So at that point, we then started tracking these two persons of interest backwards to where they came from. So we followed them walking around and eventually back to where they had gotten out of a cab. So that was another individual that we had to interview and another individual where we sought video. We continued to track that cab back to the point where the cab was tracked down by our two persons of interest in a rideshare car. We then followed up on the rideshare, and that was the lead that we needed in order to identify the two persons of interest. At that point, we had a real good timeline of where these two people went. We were able to put a name to both of these individuals, and it was at that time that we started looking at where they went right after this event. We tracked them to going to O'Hare Airport and jumping on a flight to Nigeria. Our investigation led us to determine that they had purchased a round-trip ticket with them returning to Chicago on the 13th, so approximately 2 weeks after the incident. So that gave us a couple of weeks to try to continue to follow up on any investigative lead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the press conference held by the Chicago Police Department in response to the arrest of Jussie Smollett, who is awaited in court right now. How high does this go? Does it stop with Jussie Smollett? Was he the mastermind of this? Were there other Democrats involved? How high does it go? How much do the Nigerians know? Is there an investigation ongoing? Yes. Yes, there is. Jussie Smollett got caught staging a false flag to blame President Trump and his supporters and white people, because Jussie Smollett is a racist motivated by top racists like Obama and Kamala Harris. Now, Jussie Smollett is awaited in court. Is he going to tell the judge that the reason he staged this was because he was unhappy with his salary, which is being reported at $65,000 an episode? Better not lie to that judge, Jussie. Better not lie to that judge. We go back now to the Chicago Police Department press conference.
They had purchased a round-trip ticket with them returning to Chicago on the 13th, so approximately 2 weeks after the incident. So that gave us a couple of weeks to try to continue to follow up on any investigative lead that would help us try to determine what happened in this incident. So while we were waiting for them to return, we executed over 50 search warrants and subpoenas, working with our partners in the state's attorney's office, phone records, social media records, and records on individuals to help us illuminate the likely facts that occurred in this event. So moving forward to the 13th, we had a team in place working with the FBI, Customs, and our partners out at the airport. Airport police helped us tremendously. And we were able to locate and identify these two individuals, these two persons of interest, when they entered back into the country at Customs. We took them into custody. We read them their rights, and they both initially asked for an attorney. They were brought to Area Central Detective Headquarters so that we could process them. And it was at that time that their attorney showed up. I think you've all seen her on the news the last couple of days. She came to us, and after speaking with these two people of interest, she said that something smelled fishy. She did not think that they were the offenders as were reported. She worked with us very, very closely to get to the point where she came to me and said, "You really need to talk to these guys. I'm going to allow them to give you a video interview with us present, and we're going to have you hear their story. They are not offenders, they're victims." It was at that time that this investigation started to spin in a completely new direction. You've heard some of the statements that their lawyer, Ms. Schmidt, has made. And it was at that time that we took the information that these two individuals provided to us, and we substantiated the timeline and the details that they gave to us in this interview. We were able to substantiate those things. We worked very, very closely with the state's attorney's office. We had been working very, very closely with the state's attorney's office for over a week at that point. And it was then on the 15th, Friday the 15th, after approximately 47 hours of them being in custody and hours of them meeting with us and telling us their story and documenting their story, did we release them without charging, and I classified them no longer as suspects or persons of interest and as witnesses. So as is typical with any investigation, one would typically lock these witnesses into a grand jury statement. Monday was a holiday, the 18th. Tuesday was the first day that we could attempt to do that. So we scheduled a appointment with the grand jury, working again very closely with the state's attorney's office in this. And as you know, at the last minute, Jesse's lawyers called and said that they had evidence to postpone the grand jury that they wanted to provide to us. It was at that time that they called us, and I met with them, with a team of our detectives, and essentially they gave us no new information. So I reported that back to the state's attorney's office, and it was at that time that we locked in both of these witnesses to the grand jury. I'm told they did an excellent job, and then the state's attorney's office approved charges against Jesse for the class 4 disorderly conduct false police report. We met with Jesse's attorneys, and we arranged for him to turn himself in. And as you all know, he turned himself in at 5 o'clock this morning in the first district in Chicago. Today at 1:30, Jesse will be going in front of a bond court judge, and the bond court hearing will be conducted at 26 in California.
Again? Well, it was uneventful. He showed up, of course, with his attorneys and a few other individuals, but it went smoothly. Because that's typically what we do. Once we believe that witnesses valuable witnesses and credible, then we take them to the grand jury to lock their testimonies in.
You made two statements here that I think most of them.
Yes. Well, a number of individuals. You know, we served subpoenas and warrants, of course, on Mr. Smollett, his manager for phone records, the two people of interest that we had. And so we still have quite a few search warrants and subpoenas out there that we're waiting to come back.
You talked about the detective.
We didn't pull resources from any shootings or homicide investigations. The detectives that you see behind me basically work on different teams, which include property crimes and things of that nature. We don't have the exact numbers yet, but let me just tell you all this. Anytime a hate crime is reported in the city of Chicago, it gets the same attention. This didn't get any special attention. You all gave this more attention specifically than we do. We give every hate crime in this city the same amount of vigor, because there's no place for hatred in this city. And as I said in the very beginning, you know, I've lived in the city of Chicago my entire life. We just don't have any room for hatred in this city. And for somebody to use it for personal gain, it's shameful. Because what that does is take away the resources that we could be putting into other crimes. Say again? That's the FBI's investigation, so CPD doesn't comment on the FBI's investigation. Yeah, we have evidence that we have the check that he used to pay them. So the $3,500 was for the two of them in total, and then $500 upon return. No, it took place right there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to conclude this press conference on the other side. And then, once that's concluded, we're going to break down the history of the left staging hate crimes. It goes all the way back to the 80s with Al Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen. And then compare the treatment that Roger Stone received to Jussie Smollett. We'll be right back.
From the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
I got something that tells me what it's all about.
All right, we go back to the Chicago Police Department press conference and conclude the press conference into or about the fake hate crime staged by Jussie Smollett.
So, Mr. Smollett is the one that orchestrated this crime. They became cooperating witnesses in the 47th hour of their 48-hour hold time. So now they are witnesses to what he did. So he has to be accountable for what he did. He orchestrated this. Well, I think that's a subject for another day. But, of course, it's because of what he did that we had to invest all these resources. He hasn't made any statements at this time. No.
Folks, when you hear the dead air, that's just the press asking questions.
No. Kim Fox and I, you know, look, I'm the police superintendent. She's Cook County State's attorney. So we talk almost every day about different cases. So the fact that she recused herself didn't impact the case at all. Say again?
Listen, we have a great relationship with our federal partners, and we certainly need to have a good relationship with our state's attorney's office, which we did. So, again, you all have to remember that the erroneous rumors and innuendo that was put out there in the beginning was just that. This investigation didn't turn in the direction of Mr. Smollett being a defendant until the 47th hour that we had those two individuals in custody. So one more hour, we would have had to let them go. We may not be here today. So the state's attorney didn't drag anything. We needed to put the case together. These things take time. This isn't TV. Okay? This is real life. So it takes time.
Smollett learned that the hard way.
Well, who's to say the leaks came from us? Just because there are leaks out there doesn't necessarily mean it came from CPD. You know, I heard particular things that were out there that I knew was simply untrue. So it doesn't mean it came from the police department.
Do you have messages or other exchanges between the brothers and Justin?
We have the phone records that clearly indicate that they talked to each other quite a bit before the incident, after the incident, and while they were out of the country. Yes. Yes. You mean right after, like moments afterwards? Yeah, I just said. So we know that they talked at least an hour or so before the attack, an hour or so after the attack, and then while they were out of the country. We know that they were talking. I don't know if they were his first choice, but that's who ultimately did it. But we don't have any evidence to suggest that.
What did you mean by that?
That the brothers might be victims?
Yeah, were they coerced somehow or manipulated, or how would you describe them? I think that's what the commander said.
Yeah. Boss, I think the fact that this was staged and that Jesse hired these two guys to stage this for his benefit and then spin this into a criminal investigation put them in a really tough spot as well, to the point where now they were arrested for a hate crime, and only because of just the incredible work by the entire team did we get to the point where we're able to get the truth from them, and now we are where we are today.
How much did they know, though? Did they know why this was faked, or did they just think that this was some weird thing Jesse wanted them to do? How much did they know?
So,
or did they just look at it like a job?
One of the brothers worked on Empire, so they had a relationship, an association. So he probably knew that he needed somebody with some bulk, and he knew them. They had a previous relationship, so that's probably the only reason he chose them.
Did you see Jesse's interview on the morning there?
I didn't see the entire thing. I saw a couple of parts of it. And to be quite honest, it's shameful, you know, because it painted this city that we all love and work hard in a negative connotation, you know, to insinuate and to stage a hate crime of that nature when he knew as a celebrity it would get a lot of attention. It's just despicable. You know, it makes you wonder what's going through someone's mind to do something like that. So, yeah, I saw a couple of parts of it, and I was angered by it, to be quite honest. Yeah. Well, you know what? That certainly helped, and you know, their counter information on that really pinpointed who they were. But who's to say whether or not we would have or not? You know, let me tell you this: these individuals you see standing behind me, the detectives in Chicago, in my opinion, are probably some of the best detectives in this country. So I have no doubt that they would have gotten to the bottom of this. You know, is that okay? Yeah, that's last call before closing. Well, To be perfectly honest, from the very beginning, we had some questions about it. But as I said, we gave Mr. Smollett the benefit of the doubt all the way up until that 47th hour of the 48 hours we could hold those two individuals, because we just didn't have the total package to support that it was a hoax. So when you heard me coming out saying we are treating him like a victim, that was the truth, because at that time, that's what he was. And I think anybody that reports a crime deserves the Chicago Police Department to treat them in that fashion until we have solid evidence to prove otherwise. The way in the back. Well, you know what? They did it because of the financial aspect of it. Now, whether or not they knew the whole thing would go the way that it did, and I can tell you all with 100% certainty, the way that they carried this out, there was never a thought in their mind that we would be able to track them down, because these detectives, they put in intense work and just great work, and I cannot say how incredibly proud I am of them for the work that they put into it. But that's just an example of the work that they do every day that just goes unreported because it doesn't get the media attention that this particular case got. But it was financial gain. Last question. Well, he identified who those two individuals were. You know, we knew that then, but he didn't know that we knew. But yeah, he helped us out when he identified them. Okay. That was after the ride share account. Yes. Remember what date it was? Okay. No. That was the one piece. We have about I would say about 2 hours of footage back and forth, and that those few minutes were not on footage. Yeah. Again? We don't know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all. Say again? Well, that's at the 47th hour is when the two brothers decided, like the commander reiterated, that with the help of their lawyer, they decided to confess to the entirety of what the plot was.
Superintendent, you said you want Smollett to be held accountable. You said you want Smollett to be held accountable. I'm curious, what is justice in your eyes?
Absolute justice would be an apology to this city that he smeared. Admitting what he did, and then be man enough to offer what he should offer up in terms of all the resources that were put into this. Thank you all.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, given everything that the left has lied about in the last 2 years to try to destroy Donald Trump, I think it's time to take seriously potential legislation that says if you're going to try to charge someone with rape and you know that it didn't happen and we can prove that you know it didn't happen, if you're going to charge someone with a hate crime that you set up and we can prove you set up, maybe it's time for you to face the same punishment that the person you falsely accused would have faced if they would have been found guilty. Just to protect actual victims of rape and hate crime, I think we should do that. All right, so here are the questions that remain.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind.
Is Jussie Smollett the mastermind of this whole thing, or are there top Democrats involved? Could he have even been motivated by Barack Obama? Not to say this was Barack Obama's brainchild, but, you know, Obama coaxed him into this, says, you're a highly influential person. You know, you could do something about this stuff. And I really don't like getting into this part of these people's psychology, but I feel like someone has to do it. But trust me, I even feel sick talking like this It's just the truth, folks. Jussie Smollett is a racist against white people. And sadly, in his mind, he's been propagandized so much that he justifies staging a hate crime and blaming white people because he thinks this country's racist against black people. And so that's how they justify this in their little meetings and their little quarters when they're talking and discussing all this. They justify their evil because they think that there's already evil present. So they're basically saying, we're going to fight evil with evil. Of course, Jussie Smollett is worth probably millions of dollars as a black male gay actor. So clearly not that oppressed, but the propaganda's there. See, that seed is in his head. And then it's watered by Obama. It's watered by Kamala Harris. And we have to ask, did Smollett even fully inform the Nigerians what he was actually doing? Are the Nigerians covering for Smollett? Is Smollett covering for the Democrats? I wonder if the Chicago FBI is going to be allowed to investigate this, because it sounds to me like the police department, at least listening to their press conference there, it seems like they're just kind of want to wash their hands of this situation. So Smollett's basically going to get nothing. Where I say, if you're going to charge someone with rape, if you're going to falsely accuse someone of rape, knowingly, wittingly, you should then face the punishment that the person you accused was going to face. So Smollett should be looking at jail time here for the hate crime. Or whatever the crime punishment would have been, he should now face that. Because that's how you protect actual victims of hate crime and actual victims of rape. But let's go now to perhaps the dumbest person in the history of television news, Don Lemon, who is just your typical leftist that's trying to cover up what Jussie Smollett did, staging a hate crime. Because again, in their minds, it's all justified. It's justified to stage a hate crime and blame white people because white people are evil. So you need to understand, at the deepest level of their psychology, folks, Jussie Smollett is a racist who hates white people and wanted to blame this attack on white people because he feels justified in doing so. Now, listen to Don Lemon on CNN last night.
In the court of public opinion, Jussie has lost. He's right. Lost the fight in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
And that's where his battle is. Whether legally, if he has to go, whatever he has to serve, if it's jail time, if he has to do probation, if he has to pay, whatever. But in the court of public opinion,
it matters.
It matters. And he lost that because of how, and not his fault. Maybe people were, I don't know what they were saying to him, how maybe because of his representatives. Who knows?
I don't know.
But it was handled poorly.
I don't know if it's not his fault, Don.
You think it's his fault? You think he was doing what he wanted?
Well, he went out and he gave the interview. So understand this.
He staged the whole thing.
From a defense perspective, there's two things to think about. Number one is the law and whether it makes sense legally to be out there speaking and everything else. From that perspective, it's damning. All those things you heard him say on TV are going to be played in a courtroom.
It was an orchestrated hoax, ladies and gentlemen. An orchestrated hoax. And I'll tell you, the critically thinking individual doesn't think this stops with Jussie Smollett. Because, well, let's just say he doesn't seem like the type of individual smart enough to try to stage this. And proves he wasn't. They weren't even able to get it on camera. He wrote checks. The guy is an idiot. But then maybe I guess that proves that he did set the whole thing up.
It's Thursday, February 21st, 2019. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I will be back live in studio tomorrow. Owen Schroyer there in the ATX is about to take over with a fully loaded powerhouse transmission for you in the fight for human liberty. All right, let's break down some of the top stories here. Well, Jussie Smollett did get charged. The grand jury did hand down the indictment. It's a relative slap on the wrist, a class 4 felony. It's basically engaging in disorderly conduct. And of course, it is disorderly conduct. It's trying to create a race war and division in this country. What it really is a divide and conquer psychological terrorism tactic that was used. But because he's in the city of Chicago, I'm surprised the police even followed through with investigating it and busting him. But there is still some decency left, I guess, even in some of the most corrupt areas of this nation. But the police also knew that they were going to be beat over the head with this fiction. So at a certain point, doing the right thing is about survival, isn't it? Especially when you have a whole class of leftist professional victims organized by Hollywood, the Democratic Party, funded by major think tanks and agencies, breathing down the neck of every hardworking American, no matter what color you are or where you came from. If you're not part of their cult, you're basically steak on the table. Now, the fact that Jesse Smollett was so arrogant so long tells me everything I need to know. Just like day one it happened, I said, I believe this is probably staged, like 99% of the other fake hate crimes that we see out there. But we saw at first Fox and the directors and the producers defending him even after his story completely disintegrated. I mean, again, who waits 40 minutes to call the police? When they get to your apartment, you have symmetrical scratches on each side of your cheek and a noose still hanging around your neck. I mean, this is the most cartoon-level garbage ever. And then, of course, the lies continue to disintegrate. But why is this so important? It gives us a window into the mindset of the controlled corporate left. They are a group of fully committed sociopaths and psychopaths who see those of us that have consciences as victims and who work in large groups to basically engage in their criminal activity. I mean, look at Blasey Ford. Her story's totally fake. Four of the other five women have said their stories were fake. One was charged. And when asked, why did you do it? She said, well, he deserves it. He's a Republican. So to them, saying someone's a rapist that you've never met, ruining their life, is nothing because those people don't exist because they're, quote, effing white males. This is what the media, using high-tech brainwashing, has basically turned many minorities into, is to caricatures of frothing KKK members who behave just like the classic KKK, but are much more organized and much more powerful. But after all, that's all in the WikiLeaks. Hillary discussing how to use culture war, race war. And that's what Jesse Smollett was hoping to trigger. And that's why we should be really concerned, because we've seen all these hoaxes come out from the Covington kids to the Blasey Ford situation to just countless others. And the fake chemical attacks that turn out to be completely proven fake chemical attacks, with even London Guardian confirming it. But they move on to the next lie and the next lie and the next lie. So we forget about all the other lies that we've been told. But again, didn't Gruber, one of the main architects of Obamacare, tip his hand? He said, our whole system is based on the fact that the public has the memory of a goldfish. Thank God they're so effing stupid. And he said that on C-SPAN, thinking you're a subhuman rat that wouldn't even hear him. But what's even crazier about the whole Smollett situation, the fact that he's now been indicted on disorderly conduct, a slap on the wrist, is that Don Lemon, we'll play a clip of this in a moment, has doubled down even more than Trevor Noah. When Trevor Noah said, hey, the guy's a great liar, even if he lied, let's give this guy a Emmy for his deception. Don Lemon came out and said this was all handled wrong. It was all about public opinion and how basically Smollett got demonized. So that's why he's been indicted. So what he's saying is this wasn't handled well. The script he was given to stage this event wasn't executed correctly. And so because these two guys are fellow traveler globalists, he openly on CNN covers for him. So here's a clip of that and a clip of Trevor Noah.
In the court of public opinion, Jussie has lost. He's right. Lost the fight in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
And that's where his battle is. Whether legally, if he has to go, whatever he has to serve, if it's jail time, if he has to do probation, if he has to pay, whatever. But in the court of public opinion,
it matters.
It matters. And he lost that because of how, and not his fault, maybe people were, I don't know what they were saying to him, how maybe because of his representatives. Who knows?
I don't know.
But it was handled poorly.
I don't know.
I was talking to a friend, and I said, I just want them to find them. And she said, sweetie, they're not going to find them. That just made me so angry.
Okay. Either this guy's telling the truth, or he deserves an Emmy for that interview.
Think about how arrogant these people are. The truth is, studies show the average human on this planet has a good memory. We just don't exercise it. If you're into football, you remember a game that you watched 20 years ago. If you're into a certain song, then you know every piece of it, from the different instrumentals to the vocals. If you're in love with a woman, you know every curve of her body. If you had a really, really, you know, bad experience when you were a kid, you remember it. These are things that you've chosen to remember. And their whole program is based on you adapting to be a slave and not remembering what happened 5 minutes ago. That's what the television shows, the radio shows, everything is about very, very short attention spans. And the government and think tanks and the American Psychological Association admit that they embarked on a program 60 years ago to lower the attention span of the average American from about 45 minutes now to 14 seconds. Look it up. So the entire system pivots around this. Now, there's another great article on Infowars.com by Mike Adams of NaturalNews.com. The independent media just saved America from a bloody race war that the mainstream media was trying to start. America was just saved by the same independent media that the tech giants are trying to wipe out. It's an excellent article. Everyone should go read it. And Mike points out the elephant in the room that obviously Jussie Smollett is big buddies with Obama, big buddies with all these leftist producers. He admits he's a social engineer, and obviously he was not acting alone. He was told, double down and lie, we'll cover for you. But when the police got such incredible evidence at the hardware store and from their apartments, both the guys he used from Algeria and himself, there was nothing Smollett could do but now protect the higher-ups. That's why I predict, just like with Brian Williams, that we will see Smollett back on TV in a year or two, again, thinking that we have no what? No memory. Finally, I want to get to some good news. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that asset forfeiture seizure, in the way it's being carried out by the states and counties and cities, where sometimes you don't even commit a crime and corrupt police departments take your money or take your car, is absolutely un-American and extremely dangerous. Next, I hope they take up how eminent domain has been expanded to where even small towns and counties are trying to take people's land for less value than it's worth for a, quote, shopping center. So we're going to be looking at that more. A lot of good things are happening. Things aren't perfect, but this Supreme Court is a hell of a lot better than it would have been if Hillary would have gotten in and already gotten two new justices on it. And that's why the globalists and their minions are fighting so hard, because they know humanity is waking up to them. A lot of other key articles on Infowars.com and NewsWars.com. Please don't forget, you're the only way we move the ball down the field. When you tell neighbors, when you tell friends, when you tell coworkers, when you tell church members, when you tell them about NewsWars.com, or say, hey, go to the verboten site, Infowars.com. Find out what it is mainstream media doesn't want you to hear. Infowars popularized how the left are masters of staging crimes against themselves. That's why they want us off the air. And then whatever you do, please financially support Infowars and get great products, a 360 win, amazing new protein bars, high-end ones at half the cost they are at Whole Foods, amazing energy systems like TurboForce and BrainForce and the great fish oils and the great turmeric bodies and so many other great products at InfowarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. But whatever you do, please commit to spread the word today. Start your own broadcast, start your own blog, to start your own YouTube channel, to start your own local radio show. If we all take action, we can defeat the globalist. We'll be right back with Owen Schroyer and the rest of the Alex Jones Show. Please stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a lot of news that I really need to get to here outside of the Smollett hoax. There is more to it, though. And I think we're all kind of wondering how deep this really goes. Most people believe right now that this is going to go up the chain of the Democrat command. Now, I hope there is a real investigation into that. I hope the FBI gets involved. And I hope we find out if there's anything to that. Now, unlike the left that wishes and prays for racism and then gets all excited when they see some or think they see some, it turns out to be a hoax. I don't hope that the Democrats are staging hoax crimes to divide this country. It's just I know they're doing it. And so we go all the way back to 1987. Do you remember the name Tawana Browley? Tawana Browley was a black teenage girl who made up a narrative that she was brutally gang raped by a group of white men, including a prosecutor and a police officer. It didn't take long before the leftist provocateurs like Reverend Al Sharpton and others were immediately sending her funds and organizing events and protests and rallies in her support. Of course, the whole thing was fake. So Tawana Browley was the original Jussie Smollett. So you see, this isn't a new thing for the left. This is old hat for the left. To stage hate crimes, blame, in this case, white people, and then divide a wedge in this country. That's what the left does. So let's not forget Tawana Browley, who, by the way, she was issued fines, which latest reports are she never paid, and she still owes over $400,000 in fines to be paid for her hoax. Nobody's holding her feet to the fire. Funny how that works. Same with Al Sharpton. That guy's got back taxes. Nobody's holding his feet to the fire. Funny how that works. So let's not forget, Jussie Smollett is Tawana Browley. Another fake hate crime by racist leftists. That's what this comes down to. Now we have to look at two other stories developing right now. For example, the U.S. Coast Guard lieutenant that they're claiming is a white nationalist conservative survivalist wanted to kill every last person on Earth in a mass terror attack. So now people are going to look at that, and just like the Chicago police officer said, now we're going to be looking at every crime that the media covers and wondering, is it real? Is it a hoax? Is it a setup? Is it a narrative? Can't trust these people anymore. Another one that is a little less serious in its nature, but perhaps even more fraudulent on its surface. Surveillance catches presumed MAGA supporter vandalizing San Francisco home. This is ridiculous out of ABC News. There's zero evidence that this individual pictured in there is a MAGA supporter. He's just walking down the street. You read the notes allegedly left by the person that allegedly vandalized this person's San Francisco home. Folks, it's like, it's not the type of letter that you would expect or note you would expect to get from someone that's vandalizing your home for political reasons. And then the guy who had the impeached Trump sign on his house, it's claiming the victim here, he won't talk to police. He'll only talk to media. He blurs out his face. I mean, like, again, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but it's like, are we really going through with this again? And why won't this guy talk to the police when his house has been vandalized and he apparently has it all on camera? Huh. So we'll continue to monitor that situation. In the meantime, again, I've got a ton of news I want to get to here. I got a video from Obama I want to watch and I want to share with you. There's just so much to get to here. I got all these stories, including Roger Stone has just entered the courtroom. And he has a hearing right now in front of Judge A.B. Berman Jackson. So, Roger Stone, who's guilty of nothing, he gets raided by the FBI, 29 SWAT agents, guns pointed at him, and he has to go see the judge multiple times. But Jussie Smollett, who staged a hate crime, and then lied about it on a bunch of television interviews, lied about it to police, cost police probably hundreds of thousands of dollars of police resources He gets, oh, Mr. Smollett, would you like to come in? They called his attorneys. They said, let's arrange for him to come in. No, Roger Stone didn't get that. No. So it's funny how that works. And then I'll cover this story that we just reposted at Infowars.com from RT. Major advertisers jump ship as YouTube hit with softcore child porn scandal. And you had this individual on YouTube that was calling it out. What is the name of this guy's channel, guys? I forgot. We're pulling it up right now, the video that went totally viral from this individual. But, yeah, of course it would do that right now, wouldn't it? That's fine. Just refresh the page. Here's the deal with this. Matt Wattis. While, obviously this video is, you know, pretty powerful stuff, and I do believe what this guy's reporting on is legitimate and it's worth watching. But just to give you guys full disclosure, we reached out to this individual and requested him to come on InfoWars, to which he basically made fun of InfoWars and said we're basically trash and garbage and he would never come on our platform. So, look, bud, we were the ones that were breaking the stories of pedophiles operating freely on social media. We've had multiple guests on exposing that. We've even covered the YouTube videos before where they're clearly marketing in a sick way to these deviants. And so we just reached out to you to amplify the story that you made go viral, that we already made go viral before anybody even heard of you. And then you basically called us trash and garbage. Now, look, I'm not trying to be rude to this individual here. In fact, we'd still love to have you on because we believe in this issue and we don't want there to be pedophiles, taking advantage of children on social media like this. We don't like children to be abused like this and used like this. So look, we're in this together, man. So I don't care. You can call InfoWars trash, garbage, fake news and discount us, but we've got a huge platform and we want to amplify this story. So I think it's sad that you discount InfoWars when we request an interview that makes you know better than the mainstream news. So I don't understand why that individual won't come on with us. We highlighted his story. We agree with the issue, but he decided to trash InfoWars when we invited him on the air. So I don't understand why that is. Dude, we want to amplify your video. We're the real news. We called it before anybody even knew who you were. So, you know, here's an olive branch to you. If you want to come on InfoWars, we'll still have you on.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, we've got a video that we're going to play here that's going viral right now. And there's a few different angles about this that I want to cover. Then I've also got a video of Obama coming up, you're not going to believe, where Time Magazine, in poor choice of words, said that Michelle Obama, Obama said his wife is a strong man. okay. But first, we need to pay the bills around here, and I've barely even plugged today. And so we're basically running on E right now. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and fill our fuel tank. And we've got big specials going right now, including 40% off the entire box of InfoWars Live protein bars when you buy two or more boxes. So you can go order 10 boxes right now and you get that 40% off. And, you know, this is really a great thing you could do for your own retail. You could go buy these bars at 40% off, buy 10 boxes, 20 boxes, and then sell it in your own store. So that's kind of the idea here. Or if you're like me and you just like having protein bars all the time because it's a convenient snack on the go, it's healthy, it's something good before a workout, it's something good after a workout when you're on the run, you got to drive in your car, got to get somewhere fast, you don't have time. The protein bar is a go-to for me. So I always have boxes of protein bars in my pantry and I usually go with the more popular brands. I am switching to the InfoWars Life protein bar. I'm going to get a couple boxes so my pantries will be stacked. I'm not the only one here at InfoWars. I haven't tried the vanilla coconut yet, so I can't give you a review on that. I have tried the peanut butter chocolate and Honestly, I think it tastes like a double fudge brownie. In fact, I busted one of these open yesterday on the War Room just to show the audience. I mean, it basically tastes like a double fudge brownie that's covered in chocolate peanut butter and has peanuts in it. That's what the peanut butter chocolate protein bar tastes like. It doesn't even taste like a protein bar. You wouldn't think you were eating a protein bar. You'd think you were eating some gourmet double fudge brownie chocolate bar combination. I mean, it really is that good. So the team here at InfoWars Life spared no expense in packing the best tasting, most nutritious protein bar in to the InfoWars Life protein bar. It's at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, 40% off when you order two or more boxes. And we invite you to just order a bunch. Sell them at your own place. You have a gym. You have a... I know there's people that own businesses like vape shops and other such stuff and clothing lines and stuff. Sell them there. So that's what the InfoWars Life Protein Bar special is all about right now. There's other specials going on like 50% off BrainForce Plus when you order TurboForce Plus, 50% off the Ultimate Bone Broth at InfoWarsStore.com. Just read the ingredients in that, see why it's so popular and so beneficial to your health. We don't even talk about the Super Silver Wound Gel enough. It's like a miracle cream. Topically, for anything, Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel is basically the best you're going to get. Sunburn, cuts, lacerations, it's just unbelievable. The healing power and the safeguard power from further infection, the Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel is amazing. And it's at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. Now, I want to be careful about something here. Because I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. And look, in general, I am somebody that tries to get along with everybody. I don't take things personally. I understand that people never want to touch InfoWars stuff. And so fine. But it's this weird. I don't even know what it is. The term is there's a chilling effect basically on InfoWars. And quite honestly, folks, it's like it even happens to us. And so nobody wants to share InfoWars videos. Nobody wants to post InfoWars articles. Nobody wants to talk about InfoWars. And so, you know, stuff we do doesn't go viral because people are afraid to associate with InfoWars. People are afraid to share InfoWars. People are afraid to associate with Alex Jones. I mean, this is just what happens. And it's the left that just outright censors us and wants us banned, but also on the right, and I'm not talking about everyone here. I want people to understand. I'm not trying to throw stones in glass houses here. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. Nobody wants to share our stuff. So we have like the hardcore censorship of the left and then the softcore chilling effect censorship on the right. So I don't want anybody to think I'm pointing fingers or playing some like a jealousy game or, oh my gosh, share our stuff, make us bigger. Trust me, that's not it. I just want the audience to understand. It's like, so Turning Point USA has just shared a video of a gentleman getting punched in the face when they're out recruiting. Now, again, this video is immediately going viral. It's already been seen millions of times. I'm glad Turning Point USA doesn't have anybody trying to censor them. I'm glad Turning Point USA doesn't have a chilling effect on them from the right. But you have to understand, there's this weird selectiveness right now on social media in the right about what is going to go viral and what isn't. And I don't even know if it's a conscious thing, to be honest with you. But it just shows how the chilling effect against InfoWars works. I mean, this happened. I don't know how many times I've shared videos like this. Not even of me. I'm not even trying to promote myself. I'm talking about other people that we have on the show that have similar videos that just, for whatever reason, nobody wants to share, nobody wants to talk about. And so then at times, I'm like, do I want to get this guest on or not? Because I don't want to put the chilling effect on them because of what happened to them. But now let's get to the real story here, now that I've just kind of vented, and just so the audience understands the full 360 censorship we deal with at InfoWars, the hardcore censorship of the left, and then the softcore chilling effect from conservatives. Here is a video of a conservative getting cold clocked, cheap shotted, punched right in the face. On video, no doubt, we got to pull the audio down, guys. In fact, we probably have to dump that. I just heard a curse word. So we can't even play the, folks, we can't even play the audio because there's so much cursing in it. Just keep rolling the B-roll. No innuendo, no rumor, no conspiracy, no narrative, just a radical leftist walking up to a conservative and punching him right in the mouth. Total violence, probably could be considered a hate crime. In fact, should be considered a hate crime. But notice, I guarantee you, other than Fox News, TPUSA will probably be on Fox News tonight. Other than that, this story won't get picked up. It won't make ABC. It won't make NBC. The individual that got punched in the mouth is not going to be invited to go on Good Morning America. He's not going to be invited to go on ABC and all these other shows. They're not going to promote this thing. They're not going to make a huge deal out of it. Unlike Smollett. Because you see, in this country, believe it or not, there's actually privilege to being a black gay person. Now, they're never going to tell you that, but it's true. Why do you think Jussie Smollett got all the coverage, but this individual won't? But you know what? Forget the political leanings. Forget the fact that he's a black man or a gay man or a liberal. How about it's just Hollywood privilege? How about that? How about Hollywood privilege allows Jussie Smollett to get all the coverage for his fake hate crime that never happened, not on tape? They wanted it on tape. Couldn't even accomplish that. But here's just, I mean, blatant right there. All the evidence you need. A conservative, victim of a hate crime, of a leftist that comes up and punches him right in the mouth. So the fake Jussie Smollett story goes all the way around the world. Everybody sees it. He gets the TV interviews. This white guy who's a conservative gets punched in the mouth. He's not going to get the Good Morning America interview. He's not going to get the topic of discussion on The View. He's not going to get dozens of television interviews. He's not going to be going on TV crying, getting a bunch of sympathy. No. See, he's a white man conservative. He's trash. He's garbage. He doesn't exist. But it's not even that. That's just if you want to play the whole political cards that they play. The truth is, they just care about ratings. And so they know if they have a black gay man and they say, racism, homophobia, that will draw ratings. That's really what this is about. A white guy getting punched in the face by a radical leftist, that doesn't get ratings. That happens all the time. We love that. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, the legend, oh my gosh, I was about to announce that Roger Stone has taken the stand in a defense against an Instagram post and a wild man in what kind of hat would you call that? It's like an Indiana Jones hat.
It's here. An open road Stetson.
That's a Stetson, huh? Is that a new one?
They say as you get older, you revert to your parents and grandparents, yeah. I'm going to start wearing a cowboy hat as a disguise.
So Alex Jones just landed.
Hey, I'm going to let you get back, but they're going to put the New York Post image up behind you of the whole hoax. This is such a devastating victory where they say don't question big events when most of them are staged. This is what they're scared of, folks. This is big because the Democratic Party is all about hoaxes.
And let's find out.
By the way, on the war room, I'm going to take care of some business, but I may pop in with you. Who's doing the fourth hour?
I'll be hosting fourth hour with Stuart Rhodes. Rob is hosting the War Room today.
Is Stuart Rhodes going to be in the studio?
Yes.
I should probably put a jacket on to be serious and get in here and talk about, you know, our sources told us March 1st, the Mueller report, now you see that's being announced. Our sources told us about the national emergency. They're definitely investigating Obama and Kamala Harris and all of them, the Democrats, because they're all buddies with Smollett. And the fact that he was so arrogant and connections and now got his phone and his phone records. That's why Chicago is trying to circle the wagons down, trying to whitewash this. But again, the globalists don't want to take down somebody for China Gate or Russia Gate because that's connected to Republicans as well. You know, not spying, but, you know, lobbying. But they like something like an intern and a cigar because it's limited to one area. this thing could bring down the Democrats. And the word is there's a major investigation going on with them involved. Obviously, they're involved. But the point is they're being investigated by the DOJ. So looks like old Trumpy has Obama and the Chicago machine and Rahm Emanuel by the short hairs, bitches. But here's the problem. Like you said yesterday, what's the new false flag? White member of the Coast Guard was going to destroy the planet. He's more powerful than Godzilla. Godzilla! Oh, Godzilla!
And you can actually go back and listen to the Alex Jones Show where we literally said that this is exactly what they're going to do to try to distract from this. Just like all of their corruption with Russian collusion, how it was the Democrats and Hillary Clinton, they're the ones that colluded with Russia to manipulate the election, even with bots on social media, with the Russian dossier, all of that stuff. Then they make a cover story to then try to point the finger at their enemy. That's the Russian collusion narrative. The same thing is happening now. Smollett gets caught in this massive hoax. So now they've got to stage these other events to get the attention off Smollett and off the fact that they're about to be investigated for perhaps even funding this at the very top, orchestrating this at the very top. And you have to wonder, is Jussie Smollett? Because who believes that this it really stops at Smollett? I mean, who really believes that that's the case? I don't. But
Owen,
an investigation will pan out.
One member of the Coast Guard was going to blow the planet up. He's white. White people are going to blow the planet up. Stop covering up.
Yeah, he was a survivalist, too, so you know he's bad.
Cover up. Smollett. Just say a white dude is going to blow the planet up. There's a big fuse coming out of the top of it. He's going to light it.
So that's what they're trying to do. But there's another one, Alex.
Stop covering up the white guy that was going to blow the planet up. Smollett was trying to stop him.
That's right. In fact, this guy was probably, it was probably Trump that told him to do it.
This disingenuous person Smollett is. Look at the image of him from the New York Post. Blow it up.
He goes on TV. He cries his crocodile tears. But Roger Stone gets invaded with 27 FBI agents. He's on the stand right now because he put up an Instagram post for doing nothing. Oh, but Jussie Smollett, the baby of empire, the baby of the Democrat Party, the baby of Barack Obama, he's allowed to, Mr. Smollett, we're going to contact your attorneys. And, if you want to come in and cooperate, that'd be great, Mr. Smollett. Well, no pressure, you just faked a hate crime and cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars of police resources. There's people dying and shot and killed.
The white guy that wanted to destroy the earth.
See, but how about that? Jussie Smollett and the Democrats tried to start a race war in this country. It's not the first time. And it won't be the last time. Again, Jussie Smollett is Tawana Browley, who still owes all the fines that were put on her for her fake hate crime. But she's a Democrat, so she doesn't have to worry about that.
We can sit around here and we can joke all day, and I'm not kidding. The globalists, it's an ongoing 50-round fight. They're trying to shut us down right now because they don't want us here asking these questions. And that's why we need your support. That's why InfoWarsStore.com is there. A bunch of big specials.
So I think we're going to be hearing from Alex Jones in the next segment. You going to come back, Alex?
I'm going to take over from Stuart Rose, but we got the big breaking news.
So we're going to be breaking this down, ladies and gentlemen. But just like Donald Trump...
There's a white member of the Coast Guard that's going to destroy the earth! Run for the hills! We're all dead!
Just like the left, ladies and gentlemen, distracts from their own crimes of Russian collusion. They're distracting now.
We got to get out of here!
Is that?
Let's get out of here!
Pull up the story! Hit the deck! Did the white man blow up the planet yet? What's happening? Oh, the Coast Guard guy didn't blow up the planet yet? We're still alive? He didn't launch a biological weapon? I think Odd Job is in studio now.
Odd Job!
It's Odd Job Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for that hacker. Well, it's for you.
Oh my gosh, yes. Alex Jones, he jumped out of the airplane.
Oh, and I'm impressed.
Alex Jones was flying back in. He jumped out of the airplane
and dropped my hat out of the air and fell on your head.
And paraglided into the InfoWars studio.
And a member of the Coast Guard almost blew the planet up. Thank God they stopped him. Smollett was a commando and stopped him.
Don't even worry about Smollett. He was actually, Smollett broke down the door of that white racist Coast Guardman who was going to kill the whole planet. Don't you know that that's global warming's job? Let's not try that again. Let's go out on a victory with that one. All right, we're having some fun here, folks. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break in 3 minutes. We need you to fuel us at InfoWarsStore.com before Oddjob breaks all the camera equipment in here with his sleek new Stetson hat. We're going to have to get a replay of that.
Tell the listeners what happened.
So Alex jumped out of the airplane. He couldn't even wait to get back in studio. The plane hadn't even landed yet, so he jumped out of the plane. He then paraglided into studio, broke through the ceiling, and then threw a Stetson hat and landed it perfectly on my head while he was in midair. Now, obviously, as you can see, my head is rather bulbous, and it barely even fits on my head. There's no wiggle room. Alex has a very tiny head.
It doesn't fit on top of the Martian ambassador's head?
It doesn't. You actually were not. You were on a vacation in Mars, weren't you, Alex? Yeah. You were looking at all those secret bases. Yeah. So, folks, but seriously, look, they want InfoWars censored because we're going to show you.
Bloomberg's ass.
Yeah, it's like this. If you're sick of mainstream news promoting fake hate crime stories and running with that, making that the big story, amplifying the hate crime that was totally fake, that they probably all knew was fake, but they wanted to go along with it because they hate America and they're racists. If you would like to shut them up, if you'd like to stick your finger in their eye, if you'd like to gag them, like they're about to probably gag Roger Stone, who's on the podium giving a testimony right now as to why he put a post on social media or the explanation for that. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. If you'd like to see people like Jesse Smollett shown up, go to InfoWarsStore.com. I'm guessing, yeah, okay. You know what? Let me just do this right now. Here's what I'm gonna do. So these are the brand new protein bars at InfoWarsStore.com. I got a box of them right here. You should buy a whole box. You should buy 5 boxes. It's 40% off when you buy 2 or more. I'm just going to show you what you're dealing with these protein bars. So first, you've got the outer layer, which is basically just a peanut butter outer layer. I mean, who doesn't like peanut butter? Very healthy, good oils in there, the omega-3s, and it's got a great taste. So the peanut butter outer shell is what you see here originally. But then you bust it open, and inside, here, let me get a doc cam of this. Inside, I'm telling you, I think this thing tastes like a double fudge brownie. And when you actually look at the inside of the protein bar, it looks like a double fudge brownie with peanuts in it. So, I mean, it's the peanut butter chocolate protein bar, but I mean, it tastes like a double fudge brownie to me. I mean, if you eat this, you think you're eating a double fudge brownie. You're not eating a protein bar. You're like, oh, wow, that's a nice brownie covered in peanut butter with peanuts in it. No, it's actually a very nutritious, healthy protein bar. So it's the InfoWars Life protein bar at InfoWarsStore.com. The crew loves it. The crew is like purchasing this thing off the shelf. I've got boxes on the way to my house as well. And I use all kinds of products from InfoWarsStore.com. I have 2 Alexa Pure Breeze air filters in my home. I've got the Alexa Pure water filter. I mean, these are products you need. I use the InfoWars Live toothpaste, the Super Blue toothpaste. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com, folks. If you're sick of the fake news lying about America, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Busted open a protein bar in the break. Now I'm just forcing myself to eat the whole thing here. I'm a little hungry. This is disgusting. You don't want to hear me eating this. I just shoved the whole protein bar in my mouth, folks. I could eat 10 more. That's the chocolate peanut butter protein bar at InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like I just had a chocolate sin. I feel like I just ate a double fudge brownie. Man, you could break that up and put it on ice cream. I mean, that's like it's just the best brownie. All right, here's what we're going to do here. This story comes out of San Francisco, and I just want to roll the whole report here. Now, I don't want to come on air and say what we're all thinking after we see this video. So I'm just going to play the video and let you decide. Here is the next claimed hate crime against a liberal by a Trump supporter. This story comes out of San Francisco.
Imagine getting a call saying that your home was egged. That's exactly what happened to the San Francisco resident who prefers not to be identified.
I kind of felt like the eggs was, you know, he's kind of gone a little too far with that.
Let's rewind to 3 months ago when the targeting began. First, he got this letter in the mail.
And told me to, I better remove the sign or face the consequences. And it was signed MAGA, Make America Great Again.
The sign on his second floor balcony, it's a political one that reads, impeach Trump.
Pause it right there. Pause it right there, because you got to break this down in the minute by minute. Did you notice that the letter coming from some anonymous source who obviously doesn't know this individual had his name on it? Folks, they can't even fake a hate crime anymore. I mean, they do it, but like, how do you think that guy knew his name? This guy. No wonder he didn't want to file a police report. Yeah. Egg on your face. But no, I'm not judging it. Go back to the report.
Sign on his second floor balcony. It's a political one that reads, impeach Trump.
Then 2 weeks ago, I got a second handwritten note on the door.
Now pause it here again. If somebody is egging you and targeting you for political messages, do they really write notes like that? Do they really write notes like the one previously? No. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be judging this right now. But, I mean, can I help where my instincts go on this now? I mean, this is even more ridiculous than Smollett. Continue the clip.
Note on the door that was a little more disturbing. It said,
who does this? What is that?
An obscene gesture.
The homeowner decided to post a photo of the suspect on the app next door, hoping that someone would identify him. But what he actually found were allies.
I just live across the street, and I'm fully supportive of his signs.
Sarah is not only supporting her neighbor with words, she decided to buy signs of her own.
He's not going to come, hopefully, you know, after everyone. So I think there's strength in numbers.
Now, after all this, interesting. Is this homeowner considering to take down his sign? Well, the answer is no.
I have no intention of taking the sign down.
You can still smell the eggs that were thrown at this property.
You can still smell the eggs.
They tell us they cannot investigate this case yet.
You can still smell the eggs, she says. What the hell does that even mean? Smell the eggs? Does an uncooked egg? I mean, what? Does the guy not clean his place when he's just got raw eggs just rotting out in his place? This guy sounds like a bum. No, guys, this is it. This is clearly legitimate. I mean, let's call it what it is, folks. This is clearly legitimate. This man who refuses to give his identity, who somehow this assailant knew his name, who refuses to turn this into the police, who only wants to talk to media, who has handwritten letters and artistic drawings posted on his door and just a random shot of some guy walking by his house. This is clearly legitimate, folks. We've got the proof. The next big hate crime by a Trump supporter in San Francisco. We've got it. Oh, my gosh.
We're breaking the conditioning.
InfoWars comes to mind.
Alex Jones.
But there's a lot of controversy around this network about Alex Jones.
Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to marry stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
JFK was shot from the back and the front.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
They took the babies out of incubators. Left the children to die on the cold floor.
I think this is a national security imperative. We have clear things that we do not understand how they work, operating in areas that we can't control.
UFOs. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bank is in charge.
Israel claims the attack was accidental. Some former U.S. naval officers say it was on purpose. They describe the day's action as part of a continuing cover-up.
Right
Russian intelligence compiled a dossier on Mr. Trump during visits to Moscow.
Russian scum!
Denied everything. He called it all fake news.
And he accused CNN of being fake news.
This is a national emergency.
If they kill Trump or remove Trump, it will cause a massive civil war in this country.
This is a FEMA high-level alert.
We are at war with Russia.
Are you aware that Mr. Stone also stated publicly that he was in direct communication with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks?
The White House and the President are citing InfoWars.
If they can shut us down, you're next.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Stuart Rhodes now joins me in studio. We may also be hearing from Alex shortly. He has landed back in town. He actually jumped out of the airplane, broke through the ceiling here in studio. So we're going to have to fix that now. But, Stuart, we were having a laugh in the break about that last video we played of that, you know, I don't even know what you want to call that. And, you know, we're sitting here laughing because, quite frankly, it's ridiculous. I mean, this woman, this reporter's like, you can still smell the eggs. There was like two eggs sitting on the doorstep. How can you even smell the eggs?
When
the feces at your feet is probably overwhelming in San Francisco. But, yeah, it's like, oh, this guy won't talk to police. He remains anonymous. You saw the notes that allegedly were left on his door. I mean, I've never seen a note left like that for someone that's trying to engage in some political hate crime or whatever. So we're sitting here laughing at how ridiculous it's become, how lazy their fake things have become, even how obvious they've become. But, you know, it's almost like sad that we're laughing at this. I mean, these people are trying to start a race war. They're trying to start a civil war. They're just straight up liars.
Mm-hmm.
And we just laugh about it because, like, we don't even know what else to do at this point. I mean, what else can we do? If we're not going to walk up to them and punch them in the mouth, which is not what we want to do. Maybe some people want to do that, not suggesting that. So it's like, what can we do other than just laugh at how hysterical these people have become?
Well, ridicule is a good counterattack, right? That's straight out of their
public humiliation.
Actually. Sure. Yeah, it works. You know, our version of putting them in the stocks and throwing tomatoes at him is to laugh at him. That's the best response.
Yeah, I think that is kind of what this boils down to. It's just like, look, if you're going to fake a hate crime against yourself and you're going to do it so lazily that you write your clearly, I mean, how does this person know his name? He wrote his damn name on the note. I mean, like, what? And of course, they blur it out because the guy wants to remain anonymous.
Well, he's smart, though. He's not reporting it to the cops, right?
So he's smarter than Smollett.
Right. So yeah. he can't be accused of a crime.
Right.
A false police report.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's smart in that sense.
So he's a little smarter than Smollett in that he's not going to the police, so he can't get charged with a crime. But I think he might be dumber than Smollett. I mean, Smollett is now being investigated for potential mail fraud, though.
Right, he is. FBI is looking into it, and I think it's a good thing. And they could take that investigation, and I hope that Trump will take his new attorney general and instruct him to look into who else might have been involved in that mail fraud conspiracy.
Well, and what I hope is Smollett, I don't think this ends at Smollett. I mean, there's way too many Democrat involvement here. He's way too in deep with Democrats. I mean, he was the actor of the year, okay? So I don't think this ends with Smollett. And quite frankly, I don't think Smollett is the kind of guy that's willing to fall on the sword. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he has those cojones.
He'll roll over.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy that has a spine.
No, I think he'll roll over. And that's why they should. I mean, Trump should have DOJ appoint a special investigator.
Yeah.
You know, turn the tables on them. Let's get our version of Mueller, whatever that would mm-hmm. be, and turn him loose to go find out how deep the conspiracy goes, right?
Well, and, you know, guys, find out where is Smollett originally from? I doubt he was originally from Chicago. I highly doubt that because he would know better. If he was, my guess is he's probably an LA implant or something like that. Because let me tell you, I mean, I'm sure you know plenty of people in Chicago. I know people in Chicago. I know law enforcement, others, but they don't take bull crap. They don't have time for bull crap. They got serious stuff to deal with.
Right. Like the investigator said, it's shame. But what troubles me, though, is after saying it's shameless what he did and all the resources that were wasted, it looks like they get a little mafia slap on the wrist. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, he's from Santa Rosa, California. Big shock. Yeah, who could have seen that? So here's this Californian, you know, thespian who goes to Chicago and thinks he can take advantage of Chicago like this with some L.A. tactic. No, bruh. No, not in Chicago. I couldn't look. I think the Chicago Police Department did an unbelievable job. The detectives, unbelievable. The FBI, I really salute all of them, because you know this was not something that was probably fun for them. And they probably didn't sleep for about 3 days to track down the facts for the story.
Yeah, I mean, going from one camera to the next and interviewing taxi drivers. And they went through an incredible, you know, amount of effort to trace all this down, and they did a great job. But what I'm concerned about and frustrated is this indicator that they might just let him off the hook.
Yeah, I think that there needs to be a new precedent given recent events. If you're going to charge someone falsely with rape, then you need to face maybe not the full sentence, but you should face something that, I mean, you were going to potentially put someone in jail for rape. That could be a whole life in jail. Well, you got to face something with this hate crime hoax. I mean, who knows what whatever the punishment is for somebody that commits a hate crime like this. Jussie Smollett should be looking at that. He should be facing jail time.
Well, he's guilty. I mean, multiple offenses of lying to investigators. Each one of those is a separate offense, as Judge Napolitano pointed out on Fox News. Pretty good interview. But each one of them can be compounded, so 10, 15 years in jail. Who knows how many times he lied to the investigators.
Plus the mail fraud that they're looking into
now. That's a federal offense. So you got a separate track for the federal offense. That could be 10 years in prison.
So he could be looking at, he could be facing multiple felonies here.
Well, he is facing multiple felonies. One at the state level, and then one potentially at the federal level, absolutely. But the question is will the prosecutors in Chicago, for whatever political reasons, roll over and not prosecute him? My guess is yes, they will. They'll roll over. That's why the feds have got to go after it.
Well, it's actually, I don't know how many people picked up on this during the press conference, but you could tell between, I believe that was the chief of police talking. I believe it's Eddie Jackson, I think. And you could tell when they brought up the prosecutors, there's a little bit of bitterness there. Because he kind of said, you know, we need to have a good relationship with the prosecutors, and we did this time. But it sounded like, you know, sounded like there was a bit of a rub there to me. And I don't know if the crew can go back and find that exact audio. It's okay if you can't, guys. But to me, that means like they're like, okay, because the chief of police is probably, like you said, he's not going to be the one that decides what the punishment for this is. He's done his job. The detectives did their job. And so now it's looking at the prosecutors to say, okay, well, what is the punishment going to be here, or the FBI to finish the investigation? But it sounds to me like they're thinking like the prosecutor's probably just going to let this guy off. Because that's kind of the vibe I got. That feels like the vibe you're getting.
Well, I mean, all I know is what I heard in the press conference, and that's a bad indicator. You know, they asked, was the chief of police was asked what should be the remedy here? Well, an apology.
Or what would be justice?
Right, the apology and then fines. No, jail time.
Yeah, I say jail time.
Yeah, absolutely. If you or I did this, we'd be in jail. You know, throw away the key.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's people that have gone to jail for far less. I mean, just look at what our own Roger Stone has had to deal with, and he didn't do anything. All he did was get caught up in a fake investigation that's trying to target Donald Trump, and had some rogue prosecutors, you know, tell him that, oh, you said you had 3 ounces of a ham sandwich on Tuesday. You said two.
Right. Or Martha Stewart. She spent time.
Yeah.
She did time. About 6 months, right? I believe it was.
I don't know what justice for Smollett really would be. Like I said, whatever the punishment would have been if it were a real hate crime against him, whatever the punishment would have been for the individuals responsible for that, I think that's the punishment that you would look at here, because that's how you can protect real victims of hate crime and real victims of rape. Stuart Rhodes from OathKeepers.org is in studio with me here today. We're discussing what Jussie Smollett's future could entail. Right now, though, he could potentially be facing 3 years in prison and being forced to repay the cost of the Chicago Police Department investigation. And we're kind of discussing some of the legal precedents here and politics potentially involved. But, you know, I just actually was thinking, the only legal precedent that I know of, and I'm sure there are others out there. In fact, maybe we just like open up the phone line to lawyers. Maybe we should do that. Maybe that's what we should do. In fact, that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone line, and I specifically want to hear from lawyers on this question. Are there any cases that set a precedent for what Jussie Smollett did, other than the Tawana Browley case, where she was forced to pay fines at the time. I believe it was $146,000. Sharpton paid off his $65,000 fine. But Browley's fines, never paid, are now reaching, last reported, over $400,000. So I don't know if there's any other precedent, but I'm serious, guys. 1-877-789-ALEX, 1-877-789-ALEX. I specifically want lawyers to call in who can talk about if there's any precedent case here that we could look at for what Jussie Smollett might have to deal with. Now, his bail has been set at $100,000. He'll probably pay that easily and get out.
Well, filing a false police report is a crime across the nation. Every local jurisdiction has it on the books. And that's what he did, but they're not...
And mail fraud.
They're not charging him with that. They're charging him with disorderly conduct, right?
So No. He got hit with filing a false police report.
He did?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And disorderly conduct.
That's the appropriate charge, right?
Yes.
And so that happens all the time. It happens all across the country. I'm sure you get plenty of phone calls back about
but
that.
But this is, I mean, but I don't feel that you can say, I mean, filing a false police report is one thing. He made a national case out of it. I mean, that has to be considered. Well, now, if the prosecutors are dyed-in-the-wool liberals, which in Chicago we kind of expect them to be, and I think that's why the police force was kind of, you know, a little hesitant to talk about the PAs in this situation. I mean, that has to be considered to me. If I'm a judge, if I'm a prosecuting attorney, I say, look, you made a national story out of this. You went on national TV. You made the entire city of Chicago look bad. You made it a political deal. To me, that has to be weighed.
Well, sure. And that goes into how aggressively you prosecute him. And like what Napolitano said on Fox News, they could go after him for each and every time he lied to the police. Each incident is a separate charge. And stack them all up. He could be found guilty of like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 charges of
and that's why his lawyers eventually told him to stop talking to the police.
Right. Because he's compounding his exposure to criminal charges. So and that's what you should do. Make him guilty, find prosecute him and then the jury finds him guilty of each of those charges, like 7, 8 accounts of falsifying.
And you know there's probably at least 4 or 5 times that he did it. I mean, who knows how many, but you know he had to do it because the police even said, you know, he kept saying this and he did that. So we're going to find out. But I'm serious. I'm going to see if there's any lawyers, specifically lawyers, that can call in and discuss the precedent here that Jussie Smollett may be looking at. They're saying 3 years in prison, $100,000 bail set. But I think the national case and the politics involved in this needs to be weighed more than just an average false police report. Alex Jones.
Well, again, I'm not ready to go live with this yet, but folks know I have some sources, and they're just inside the government. They just said for over a week this has been looked at as the DNC involved and Obama egging him on the Chicago machine. That's why they first offended him. And so just look for that next shoe to drop next, because obviously that's why he was so arrogant at first. So how big is that if this comes out that they were involved? It's a huge deal. Plus, people are learning about false flags now. The thing they're so scared we talk about false flags is they want to stage more of these and never have us question them.
And that's, you know, it comes down to prosecuting attorneys and people if they're willing to actually go after this corrupt group of criminals with Democrats at the top of it. Obama, Schiff, Kamala Harris, they were all involved with Smollett people, all of them. All right, is Bobby in Kentucky a lawyer that wants to call in on this, guys? Okay, I specifically want to hear from lawyers. So it's okay. If it's not a lawyer, just don't even take it.
That letter, the letter that he sent to himself is the golden, you know, arrow. You can use that letter to open a federal investigation into a nationwide investigation into who else he talked to, and now it's in the hands of the DOJ, not a potentially corrupt local prosecutor.
And how can you, I mean, who buys the excuse that he wanted more money? I mean, I've heard reports that he was making up to $65,000 an episode. Empire, I think, has been on for 5 seasons. I was looking into this. The guy's easily made millions of dollars acting in this show. So, I mean, really? Like, so now it's, and if he wants to admit to that, now he's got to come out and be like, wow, I'm so oppressed in America. Millions of dollars isn't enough for me.
I think he had ambition. And I think he was also a foot soldier for the shadow government, for the deep state.
Well, again, the evidence, the circumstantial evidence is there. The guy went to dozens of Democrat rallies, good friends with Obama, good friends with Kamala Harris, good friends with Adam Schiff, constantly doing these things. We do have a police officer that's called in. So we'll take a police officer's call. He could maybe enlighten us a little bit. Jason, that's all right. Don't worry about his location. We got Jason calling in from America, a police officer that wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, as an investigator, when we take statements, whether they're suspect statements or complainant or victim statements, we always attach a perjury clause to it, and that they understand whatever statement they're making is true and correct. And if they purposely lie on it, they can be held for perjury, which is a third-degree felony offense.
So what is that? So what does that mean for Smollett? Let's say that they did say, you know, you realize that you're essentially under oath here. You know, tell us the truth, and if you don't, you could be facing perjury. Let's say he lied to them on three different occasions. What could potentially be the punishment for that?
Well, each incident is a separate crime and offense. Each incident is a separate offense on its own. Each statement that he made that was that he knew that was false is a perjury, and it's carries a felony offense. Now, a lot of the prosecutors are not going to stack charges per se because, I mean, they may use it as a plea bargain. Hey, we'll dismiss these charges if you plead to this one, avoid the whole courtroom scene. But
so let me ask you this: so where does the burden fall to place those charges? Is that on the police, or is that on the prosecutors, or on the detectives, or where does that burden fall?
Well, the burden falls on the state, the prosecutor. The burden of proof to prove that he made a false statement, knowing that it was false.
Do the prosecutors have to be actively seeking those charges?
Yeah, it's ultimately the prosecutor that the ones that choose what charges they're going to present, which ones they're going to go after for conviction. They're the ones that choose that. It's not the police department. The police department may suggest what charges that they would like to file, but it's ultimately up to the prosecutor which ones that they think that they can prove easily and which ones they have the most evidence on.
And in this case, I think, and I'm not speaking for the Chicago Police Department here, folks, but to me it looked like they had a bit of a hesitation when they talked about the prosecutors in this deal. And maybe we look into it. I mean, George Soros funded millions and millions of dollars getting prosecutors in major cities like Philadelphia and Chicago. Now, the original one recused herself, so that could be big. All right, every second matters of this broadcast. I'm talking over the liner. We've got William Gein from Alipac.us now joining us. Stuart Rhodes from Oathkeepers.org in studio. We're breaking all of this down. What is going to come of this Smollett thing? And here's the thing. We're not sitting here obsessing over Smollett because he's a Hollywood actor or because we're going along with the mainstream news trends. It's because we recognize that this could be the card that is pulled out from the house of cards that makes the whole thing crumble. We already know Democrats engage in provocateur events. They got caught by Project Veritas. We already know they stage hate crimes. Dozens have been exposed in the last 2 years. It goes all the way back to Tawana Browley. So we got a lawyer called in from Chicago, John. We're going to go to in a second. But first, William Gein joins us. He's just joining us right now. William, what is your take on the recent developments here?
What, with the Smollett case?
Yes.
There? Well, you know, I was on a couple days back about the fakehatecrimes.org website, which Monday morning was the first of the news cycle to begin after the Smollett case fell apart and really became exposed for the false flag attempt to create a race war that it was. And fakehatecrimes.org, I don't even know who runs the site, but they've got over 349 different stories up there. And, of course, the more recent ones like the Covington case, the one that InfoWars talked a lot about, the attempt to pin the shooting of a 7-year-old black girl in Houston on white supremacists. And what people need to realize is not only is the left/media corporate complex running from one false flag hate crime to the next, but beyond that, what the media is doing on a regular basis, what Hollywood is doing with movies on a regular basis, what the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Defamation League are doing on a regular basis is the exact same tactic. They're trying to invert reality and make it look like Americans, predominantly Americans who are constitutionalist or loyal to, or of European descent, are the most violent, dangerous, problematic, enslaving, wife-beating, Indian-killing people on the planet. by the stats, we're amongst the safest next to some of the folks in Asia when it comes to actual crime stats. And if you're looking for crime statistics and violent crime and who's actually dangerous, it's illegal immigrants and people coming from third world.
But the reason why it's key to point that out is because the reason why they stage these hate crimes is because they have to stage them. They have to manufacture them to try to perpetuate this narrative that doesn't actually exist in America. Now, John is a lawyer from Chicago. I want to take his call, but I want to explain something here real quick about Chicago. Chicago is a very proud city. I'm from St. Louis. Chicago is a sister city. I travel to Chicago a lot of times. I have a lot of great friends and family in Chicago. I love Chicago. Let me tell you something. When Californians like Jussie Smollett come up into Chicago and think that they can run amok in that city, some punk ass from Santa Rosa, California, some Hollywood actor thinks he can come up in Chicago and try to destroy that city, uh-uh. And I hope the city of Chicago stands united against this scumbag. But let's go to John, a lawyer in Chicago, to get his take on this. John, what do you think is going to be Jussie Smollett's ultimate punishment here, or do you think he'll get off easy?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a former prosecutor, and let me give you a little bit of background on what he's going to go through. He's going to be arraigned on one count. They generally bring one count as a preliminary charge to get him into the system. He'll be arraigned on that one count. He'll enter a plea and not guilty. It's pretty standard. It's a pretty standard procedure. They'll set it out for a preliminary hearing, which he's entitled to, or they'll send it to the grand jury to come back and return the felony counts. And at that time, they will add additional counts if they decide to. Mostly, the Cook County prosecutors, felony prosecutors, would love to try this guy. They're all very aggressive. They would like nothing more than to go after him. So the frontline prosecutors want to go after this guy. The question is, will Kim Fox's supervisors allow them to add the additional counts of potentially perjury for lying to the police and any other statutory counts that they can throw in there? They generally try to throw as many as they can in there. A preliminary hearing would require the police officer to testify briefly in front of the judge to make sure they got the right defendant, that there's enough evidence to hold over for trial. Generally, that would be kind of a media mess. So I think they'll go before the grand jury, put a little bit of evidence on, and then go ahead and issue a grand jury indictment on various counts. Interestingly, though, they did take those witnesses and get them in front of the grand jury quickly and get them under oath so they can't change their stories later. That's why they will take those witnesses in front of the grand jury, so that they will be locked in and they can't change their testimony. That means the prosecutors are pretty aggressive. The real question is, will Kim Fox let her superiors? She did recuse herself for whatever reason. Will they let the superiors file additional felony counts? Now, regarding regarding whether or not you think this is going to go away, I don't like the fact that they charged with disorderly conduct right off the bat as a felony.
Yeah.
Probably, I'd have to look at the statute again. Probably a class 4, which is the lowest felony you can charge.
Which feels like an opening for a plea bargain.
Well, right, and you're looking at a misdemeanor. You're looking at it. A good lawyer, and I'm a criminal defense lawyer, part of my practice is right now, I would be trying to get that reduced to a misdemeanor disorderly conduct, mm-hmm, with some restitution and possibly some counseling, maybe mental, mental counseling. And they're going to try to put some air and some time under this one and air this thing out so that the media gets off of this. And then eventually a lawyer will come in, work something out with a prosecutor, and you can expect this, in my opinion, to get reduced to a misdemeanor. And that's, if he's got no background, a judge would have to consider. But it doesn't minimize what he did. It's just that they have a choice. They can go heavy on him, or they can let this thing sit, kick around for a while, and then they can turn around and let him reduce it to a misdemeanor. They might even give him supervision where it's not even a conviction on his record, some restitution. There are civil penalties for causing the government to expend emergency funds to run these things down. And so that's not dissimilar to the situation out in California with Tawana Brawley. So that's it in a nutshell right there.
Final question. Let me just ask you one more question before we get you off here. And thank you so much for calling in. How much impact does it have on the prosecutors that Jussie made this such a national story?
Well, you know, the rank and file trial prosecutors down to 26 in California, they love publicity cases, and they like hammering people like him. I'm telling you, they've done it to, you know, Congressman Mel Reynolds. I mean, they got no problem locking these people up. It's just a question of whether or not they're going to have a bit in their mouth and they're going to be allowed to do it, or they're going to be told to let this one stretch out. And when no one's paying attention in 12 months, it goes away or gets reduced. It's really just a question. That's what we have to be watching out for.
Yeah, and
which
looks like
the prosecutor going in.
Yeah, and there's already stories that are kind of surfacing now that whether they're attempting to distract from this case or not, they could eventually do that. John, thank you so much for calling in today, and your the great information you just imparted on our audience here. That's just, I mean, the InfoWars audience is just incredible, folks. I mean, I asked for a lawyer to call in. I get one in 10 minutes, probably like one of the best callers you could even ask for.
From Chicago, former prosecutor.
From Chicago, who just laid out all the facts. Thank you so much, John. God bless you. Stuart, your response.
No, I think he's right. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw the first charge. A misdemeanor, what's in the future for that? But I'm glad they tacked on a second charge of, filing a false police report. So hopefully there'll be more to it than that, but he's probably right.
And what did you
think? Stretch it out for months, and then later on it'll be a dismissal.
And remember, we were kind of like tongue in cheek, kind of joking, like, oh, they'll plead insanity, but maybe that's where they go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's his only real defense if he's hammered is to say, hey, look, you know, I've got problems, I'm, you know, substance abuse or whatever it is, but I'll agree to counseling. I'm basically mentally ill. Yeah.
Let's get William Gein. Quick 30 seconds, William. We'll get more from you on the other side. What's your response?
I really hope the legal professional rise to this. I'm no attorney, but I could certainly use one to sue my detractors that are doing something similar to what Smollett just tried to do to all Trump supporters. I mean, is there such thing as a class action defamation suit? We know there are people out there who were harmed probably in reaction, physically harmed by people who were operating off of this false information about MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters, you know, yelling MAGA slogans while beating Jussie Smollett. There should be some type of lawsuit somewhere that could be filed by people against Smollett. And if Smollett's employer wants to keep him on board, if they want to stand by him, because last report I saw was Fox was saying 2 days ago they're standing by him.
But that's what I'm saying. This could have become a national issue. Final segment of the Alex Jones Show. We've been covering Jussie Smollett. And the details will continue to emerge there. So much to get to. I didn't even have time. They're already claiming that Russians are meddling in the 2020 campaign. They're claiming that Russians are now running Netflix, even though it's all run by leftists. The list just goes on and on and on. Illegal immigrants caught with child porn. Another illegal immigrant raped a 12-year-old girl. Pregnancy centers get $399,000 from California after the state of California forced them to push abortions on people. The list just goes on and on and on. You've got the situation in Venezuela where Bolsonaro just sent in aid to Venezuela. They shut down the border at Venezuela and Brazil. So there's all that developing. And then you've got President Trump praising 5G technology on Twitter today, even saying he wants 6G. technology. Yeah, if you want to just zap all of our brains into total mush and cancer, then yeah, let's go for 6G technology. President Trump really missing the boat on that. But William Gein from AllyPack.us is with us. There's a big spending bill. It includes a lot of dangerous amnesty here, William. Break this down.
Well, the president signed a bill on February 15th, the day after Valentine's, and most people remember the day as the day they heard there would be an emergency declaration to build the wall. And so we looked on Facebook and Twitter and saw lots of Trump voters and supporters dancing and gleefully exclaiming they're getting the wall through an emergency proposal, well, or declaration. What they missed was, or a lot of people missed, was Trump signed into a law that was rushed into law through the budget bill before 99% of Americans, white, black, Democrat, Republican, anybody could even know what was in the bill. And we need to stop right there because we have broad appeal. All Americans should agree with us when we say that Americans deserve the amount of time to learn what's in legislation, to react to that legislation before it's voted on. Apparently, President Trump does not agree. Neither do most of the vast majority of Democrats and the subsection of Rhino Republicans that voted for that budget bill to be passed within 24 hours of its release. Inside the bill, there's an amnesty for unaccompanied children or minors. that they can't be deported between now and September. Anybody sponsoring one of those can't be deported. Anybody living in a household with one of those can't be deported. Anyone who wants to be a potential sponsor of a UAC, unaccompanied child, can now be waived from America's existing immigration laws because of what Trump signed into law. The bill also doubles H-2B unskilled labor visas. It increased legal immigration. He campaigned specifically on lowering legal immigration levels. He just signed a law to increase legal immigration levels. And there's even a reduction of detention beds that will increase catch and release, increase the number of Americans killed by illegal immigrants. The Angel family, six different Angel parents, were in the Oval Office begging him not to sign the bill. He signed the bill. So at this moment, Trump is not responding to us. He's not responding to the Angel parents. He's not responding to the people that he made a lot of promises to win the election so historically in 2016. So next week, we have to be ready because they're already Jared Kushner, who has his offices at 666 Fifth Avenue in New York, is in charge of this. He's Trump's surrogate, Trump's the hand of Trump in this matter. And he's already meeting with big businesses planning to pass another immigration bill, probably before anybody can read it, with more legal immigration increases and more amnesties for illegal immigrants.
Now, this is an unpopular opinion, I think, maybe when it comes to populism. But I think when it comes to common sense and logic, this is not meant to be insensitive. I think we need to look at what we did in 1920 to about 1965, when we pretty much just halted all immigration. And there were reasons for this, economic reasons, et cetera. And I just say, hey, look, this isn't because we don't want immigrants here. We obviously want immigrants here. So many great immigrants have come here and contributed to the society. But we have a national emergency. I mean, there's a national emergency at the southern border. There's a national emergency in the whole country when it comes to illegal immigrants. I mean, we've got probably at least 20, maybe 30 million illegal immigrants in this country right now. And who knows what that's doing to us economically and culturally. We need to address this and get this figured out before we take in another 30 million. Stuart?
Well, yeah. And William, that's William's point, is that that's why Trump was elected. He was elected, yes, to put a stop to this pattern that's destructive of our country. And unfortunately, he has signed into law a budget bill, like you said, that creates a basically a wide open amnesty. I mean, we're talking about potentially millions of people who are now immune from being deported, including the ones who are already here illegally, right?
Anybody that wants to sponsor a UAC or be a potential sponsor or live in a household, and we would contend that the bill actually will increase child trafficking, which is horrible because the black market value of an unaccompanied illegal alien child just went up through the roof,
right,
with the signing of this bill. But once again, this was all conducted and it was planned in secrecy. It was rolled out and voted into law within less than 24 hours, signed by the president despite the Angel family's pleas. And now he said at his press conference he wants to move on to broader or larger immigration reform. Well, I've been fighting amnesty bills for 15 years. Immigration reform means they're going to go for passing amnesty for 10 plus million illegal aliens. And if people, especially people who voted for or support Donald Trump or want to see him win in 2020, don't join with us to try to put a stop to this, I think his chances of winning in 2020 go down. I think the chances of us saving the country, because we may already be crossing a point of no return. There are so many illegal immigrants voting in elections, especially in states like California and Nevada.
Millions
of non-citizens are voting, and millions of non-citizens voted against Trump in 2016, but he hasn't taken care of that campaign promise to get them off of the voter registrations. So if you like Trump or you're upset with Trump, either way, we really like your support at alipac.us, because next, please get on our email alerts, because next week we've really, every single Republican lawmaker that signed that budget bill or voted for it, Trump and the members of the House and the Senate, we've really got to pressure them hard next week and make it very clear to them that we're not going to put up with secret legislation. We need to take this Jesse Smollett case and use that to go after the Soros groups at Right Wing Watch, the ADL, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, who are out there doing Jesse Smollett kind of false flag reporting every single day against good Americans that have no racist intentions.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Everything these people report is Jesse Smollett level. I mean, they say there's no crisis at the southern border. There's damn children being trafficked. I mean, they've complained about children being put in cages. How about children being trafficked for rape and sex? So here's my thing. I can put my politics aside and just kind of be reasonable and think about solutions here. So I would say, okay, look, if we've got 20, 30 million illegal immigrants here, we got to do something about it. We can't deport them all. Not all of them are bad people. Some of them actually want to contribute. So I would say, okay, fine. You want to cut a deal for amnesty? Let's think about this reasonably. And let's say, okay, fine. You want to cut a deal for amnesty? We just made 10 million illegal immigrants. We just gave them a path to citizenship in the next 10 years, per se. Well, then fine. Okay, stop immigration then. Stop whatever, in however long it takes for 10 million more people to come here, stop immigration for that many years.
That's what Reagan did, right?
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with the deal. Even if you only gave amnesty to 1 million illegals like Reagan did in 86, which caused the current disaster of 22 million, at that point, it becomes numerically impossible for anybody campaigning on the things that Donald Trump did of securing the border and stopping and enforcing our existing immigration laws. It becomes impossible for anyone like that to ever win another national election. And within 10 to 20 years, Democrats take full and permanent monopoly control of the presidency, the Supreme Court, Congress, and the Senate.
This is actually key. Stuart, I want you to break down the history of this, because the theory was if Reagan did this, it would curtail illegal immigration. It did the exact opposite.
Right. It incentivized it. They said, hey, if we go in and stay there long enough, we'll eventually get amnesty, which is going to be reality pretty soon. So, William, what should we be doing right now to stop what you see is coming in the next 2 weeks? And what can Trump do to fix what he just did that was a mistake by signing that budget bill?
Well, right now, the main thing we want to try to pressure Trump on is to not do it again. And that's going to take his own supporters being willing to hold him accountable. If you're an ever-Trumper that's, you know, never going to criticize the president no matter what he says or does, you've already been neutralized in this fight. The Democrats are never going to listen to you. Trump has no reason to listen to you. So the main people who can make a difference here are the people who voted for Trump like I did, who maybe donated to him or volunteered for him like I did, who are going to speak out and organize with groups like AllyPack.us or Numbers USA or FAIR. Organize. We need people to organize with the anti-illegal immigration, anti-amnesty groups immediately and to get ready for what's coming next week, because we just got steamrolled. And for 15 years, I've been fighting amnesty and legislation in D.C., and it's been hard-fought battles where shoestring organizations like mine have taken on million-dollar, billion-dollar lobbying efforts, and we've won. We've won every time because the vast majority of Americans, like 80-plus percent, don't want amnesty and are with us. We lost on Friday. But at the hand of Trump, we lost our first amnesty battle. It's going to cost Americans lives. And if we lose the next one, we could lose the war. There is a place where the war is lost, where they have pumped in so many people from around the world with antithetical views of the United States and the indigenous people like us that live here now, that they take control. And there's no peaceful political way left to stop
that. And that's why they're all rushing the border right now to come in here, vote illegally, and they want to turn Texas blue. Thank you so much, William Gein, AllyPack, .us, Stuart Rhodes, OathKeepers.org.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.